to have it, but this morning it just so happened that the reading that Betty had on this time, the topic today was fear. And, you know, I couldn't help but think, you know, now just, I know my level of fear has crept in, you know, and I can't imagine just in general how people must feel just, it's beyond political things now. It's it's day-to-day things that people are dealing with that there's a lot of questions, a lot of unknowns, a lot of things that I'm sure are going to surface as fear in people. And this was just really good. It was very timely. And I thought I'd just read this for us tonight. Some of you may have already read it, but it says, "For the believer, fear is always God forgetful. If God is sovereign and his rule is complete, wise, righteous, and good, why would you fear? The words of Hezekiah, king of Judah, ring as true today as they did in the scary moment centuries ago.
People that come in from out of town.
When they were first spoken, Judah had been invaded by the powerful king of Assyria, Sennacherib.
We paid them a $300 honorarium, and then if they came from out of town, we'd pay their expenses.
Hezekiah prepared and armed Judah for a battle, but that is not all he did. He addressed the people with a more significant issue. He knew that in these moments, God's people were often given to fear, and he knew where that fear came from. Often in these moments of challenge, the people of God would panic because they were identity amnesiacs. They would forget who they were as the children of God, and they would forget who God is in all his almighty power and glory. So at this moment, Hezekiah knew that he couldn't just be a good king and a skilled general. He must also be a wise pastor to his people. As they were preparing for the Assyrian onslaught, Hezekiah didn't want the people of Judah to think that they were left to their battle courage, their war experience, and their skill with weapons. He wanted them to know that they had been amazingly blessed with another ingredient, one that they could not, must not forget. So he said, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria and all the horde that is with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us, the Lord our God, to help us to fight our battles." So there will be a moment when you will ask, where is courage to be found to face what I am facing? Hezekiah gives you the answer. Look up and remember your God. As God's child, you are never left to battle on your own.
Amen.
And it's, you know, one of those things that's so simple to think about and say, but it's so hard for us to really grab hold to and hang on to, cling to. And I think just particularly in these times. And so, I mean, as leaders of this church, I hope that we can step out in our faith and hopefully cling to that as much as we can and radiate that as much as we can to those that are around us in these times of uncertainty. And so, anyway.
Don, we had a very similar conversation this morning in our staff meeting. You know, we're looking at Psalms 125, and we talked about how we sometimes have a spiritual attention deficit disorder because we forget who God is, and we get, focus on the enemy and those things that are in front of us that cause us to be fearful. So very similar conversation this morning.
Okay, we can just transition into people, and then we'll have a prayer. So, anybody thoughts about people?
I got a bit of an update on Alice Ferry. There's some holes in it, but I think you guys moved her to Best Western last week, and she had sent me a text late last week saying she was going to be moving to an extended stay in Fenton. Gwen reached out to her today, and still wasn't sure if that happened, but she said, she sort of said it did, but we weren't really sure that she's there. But one of the good things she did mention is that I think either today or tomorrow, she's going to be meeting with a social worker. So that social worker will be able to help her with some of the things, because she had asked us for some significant help, like 2 hours a day until the mid part of March. But she's going to investigate whether or not the social worker can provide that kind of services for her. And so,
Now when Keaton and I went over there the other day, what she told us was she would be there at the West Western for 2 days, and then she was checking into a nursing home.
Okay. She told, I guess that must have changed, because she said an extended stay in Fenton an extended stay hotel. So I'm not sure if there was something that happened in the interim. But
yeah, and Libby was coming in town and was helping with that. And Joe was with her, of course.
So Steve, did you talk to her after that she had said that she was going, she was back at home?
I texted her today, and I asked her, did she go to the extended stay? And then I asked some other questions, and she said yes, and then she went to answer some of the other questions. And so she didn't go into a whole lot of detail about where she was living, because I said, hey, you know, last week you said that you're going to be transitioning from Best Western to the extended stay. Did that happen? Are you back? You know, I just asked her, did it happen? She said yes. And so sometimes her texting is, you know, it's hard to...
I would say there's no way she can go back into that house. I've been in a lot of bad situations. That was just horrible, really. Mm. So I talked to Keaton. I said, we need to do something. There's about maybe putting together a work crew or something. Mm-hmm. But I would guess it would take a couple of days.
Really? To do what?
Clean. And she kept saying that she couldn't stay there because of mold. Mm-hmm. And mold is probably the least of the issues, you know.
Would she allow people to come in?
I don't know.
And is her brother still live there?
Yes.
He's there now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, I mean, it would be picture like the worst hoarder you can imagine. And,
really?
Yeah. And just trash and things that.
Yeah.
And she has a dog. And
So is it her situation, or is it Joe's situation, or is it just a mix of the two?
I think it's a mix of the two somehow. I don't know. I think it's her house.
Is her house.
Yeah, I should ask Sophie, because Sophie was over there helping. So this would have been 6 months ago.
Oh,
before,
really?
Before, like, Ben and the group had asked her to come over and help do laundry and do some things. And she never mentioned to me that it was that bad. But I assume it was that bad. I mean, my grandmother was that way. So I know that it took years to get to that point.
Yeah.
And for us to get it to the point of selling, it was months of day over day working on it. So she's aware of things like that. So I'll ping her today and ask her about it. Because it could have been, I mean, because Joe's getting worse, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, he's... Mm. Definitely not any better than whenever she was there. He was pretty helpful, so it's possible he was cleaning and keeping things a little bit better then. But
and if it is hoarding,
I that's maybe not there, right?
Okay,
it's mostly like medical equipment and just, I mean, stuff that she's not using anymore. Looks like,
yeah, okay,
and then just food and bags and things. It's not unrelated stuff. Not like. Just quickly, but it's just
so
piles.
Unkept because of her health for a long time.
And there's just a pathway through the whole house to the different rooms. And Keaton and I moved her. She has an actuator for oxygen and all that. Mm-hmm. She just needed that moved to the hotel. And so, and a bunch of, you know, just some stuff for that move. But, I mean, it literally was just a pathway through the house. And so... I mean, the outside and everything, it looks great.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there another spare agenda?
I
use them all.
One short, I guess.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
So Jeff, did you get an update on Jerry Mickey?
So I just know that they got there. So they're there, moved into a place, and we're feeling really good about it. I don't know if you guys had seen the Facebook post.
I saw the Facebook post.
That he knew the guy that had donated the money for the house, and so it was just a very positive feeling to be there.
Yeah.
Whether or not they've come up with any results is another thing. But yeah,
well, hey, if they can't, I don't know.
But that at least started out their whole trip. To a point, I mean, it's a big worry to just go there. And,
yeah, sure.
But then they arrived, and that was just like this bright spot to start out, and so I think that's a very good thing. But I've not talked to them since. It's been a couple weeks, I guess. Has anybody talked to Debbie Davis about their granddaughter? Does anybody know? So Abby has left, like, so this, this is confidential. Just so we know, she told me, she's told a few other people, she said, but I don't know how far and who all knows about it. But so I think, let me just read the text, that'll be the easier way. I think it was 6 months ago or 6 weeks ago, something like that, that yeah, 6 to 8 months ago, they all got in a, oh, that's the wrong one. 6 weeks ago, that is. And they got in some kind of argument or something that, I don't know if it was her and Carrie, or the whole group all together, but since then she left and hasn't. She's been in contact with them. They have some kind of relationship still, but they don't live in the same place anymore, and she's off by herself somewhere. I know that there's been lots of problems historically since college decision happened. There's been lots of problems and not happiness, because Abby had plans of where she was going, and then they didn't give her the scholarship. The scholarship they gave her was almost nothing, and partly it was because of her grades, partly it was because of they just didn't give it to her. It was just a strange thing, because her school had sort of promised it to her, and so, and then it didn't happen, so then Debbie and Gerald were not going to pay for it, and the mom and dad can't pay for it. So it just, and I think that all led up to this all happening. And I don't, and she didn't say if it was with her boyfriend or anything like that, but just that they've not been together now for, I guess, almost 2 months. And there's not really hard feelings, just Carrie's not handling it very good. It's not been very good. Debbie and them are doing okay, but so it's just a very tense situation. And she's like, she sort of still wants to come to church, but she just had they've texted her every week, but she hasn't come yet with them. And she doesn't have a license, so she somehow somebody takes her somewhere and they pick her up, I guess, if they she needs something from them. But it's been very rocky the last few weeks, and so just something we should probably keep in our prayers. And if she opens up, just be aware that something's going on.
I was talking to my mom about Abby. I was telling her, I was like, I plan on reaching out to her. My mom was like, I reached out to her recently. We talked about, she said something like, you know, whenever I stop being busy, then, cause I was like, I think you're a better person for her than I am right now in this stage. And so I'll leave it to you, but I guess nothing's happened there. So
So did you know about it beforehand? That
there was something I saw on her Instagram that she had mentioned moving out, and I was like, is that with her boyfriend or just in general? Because I know she doesn't drive and she works a job, but she's not going to make enough to live on her own.
Which is maybe why she's working so much more now, that she's having to, she's busy. Yeah. Yeah, I pinged Debbie about the variety show because I was looking for a camera person, and she's great at a camera. So, but then she texted me all this, and it's like, okay. But she had originally just told me that they weren't going to be there, and then later she texted me more. So.
If you all see Elizabeth, she celebrated 10 years last Tuesday. Congratulations. I don't know. Appreciate our service.
Yeah.
request from my sister, who was supposed to have surgery on March 21st for her knee, and found out that they did an echocardiogram and she flunked. She's Friday going in for a stress test to see what the plan is, and she said, my knee is so bad, I just wanted to get through the surgery so I could move on and get on with my life. I'm stuck here right now and asking for specific prayers, whatever they can find to be a quick fix so I can get my knee done. So I told her we'd pray for it. I was curious if anybody knows what's going on with Art
McAllister?
Susie's.
Yeah. McAllister. Yeah.
There was a Facebook post that I happened to see yesterday asking for prayers.
And Art's dad has pancreatic cancer. Yeah.
Oh, it's Art's dad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it said Art, and I thought.
Yeah, he had posted it. And so, so he's had pancreatic cancer for 2 years, maybe that long, but it is getting to the final stages.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
I thought Art had it. I didn't read it correctly.
That's what I had thought first when I seen it, and then I'm like, what? I'd just seen him a few weeks before.
Flipping back to Abby for a moment, I'd asked Nathan earlier, to check on her if she could. I think you're right, there's a boyfriend. She did open up the Facebook account, and I saw it, and I sent her a friend request, and she replied, and I said something just very benign, like, the porch light's always on if you need it, and she wrote back, had three little hearts, and that was it. But, if anybody wants to reach out to her that way, just, she is...
She changed her name on Facebook. It's Ash or something.
Yeah. She's had Ash for a couple of years at least. Oh, okay. I forget if it's like some kind of. She explained it to me a long time ago.
Is it online only, or does she go by that in person?
Some people call her Ash. Okay. Some friends.
Yeah.
Short for Ashley.
Yeah. So on Instagram, she has it as Ash Abby. So I think that's where I'd seen it.
Is her middle name start with an S? Because that'd be her initials.
ASH. Abby Ashley.
I don't know her middle name.
Okay.
This is just one of those random things, too. I have a friend who's actually my broker. He's got a wife who's got cancer. I said I told him I'd be praying for her. And his name's Jerry Donovan. And like to throw her on the list, told him that he's got people praying for him.
Ed Bielik, the weekend I was in Arkansas, that Saturday was his birthday. I think he's like 97. Wow. So I called him and left the message, and I hear he was here on Sunday.
Wow.
I wish... could have acknowledged.
Well, I think you've missed him twice.
Yeah.
Now, so because since you've been out, he was here.
Times. One time, 3 weeks ago, I was here and he was there. It's harder to get. I used to go get him and take him up, but he can't do that much anymore. And his daughter-in-law said, mornings are tough now. Maybe take him to Culver's, and I'm having a hard time connecting with him at a time when I can just take him out to lunch. And then I forget a lot too. So it's.
Can't believe you
forget. I need to be more consistent with calling him more.
You don't have any alarms I set today, so I wouldn't forget this.
Courtney came to church Sunday. Eli's wife?
Yeah, I saw her.
And it's been a while, as far as I know. I did not get a chance to say hi to her. They got left pretty quick when it was over. I was glad to see her, though.
Yeah, I went over and said hi to her during praise team practice, but I didn't get to talk to her.
We actually mentioned that this morning. Me and Kaylin, I was like, did you see, or did she say it to me? One of us said it to each other. Like, did you see Courtney? I was like, yeah, it's been a while. So
that was she didn't even show up for Zoe's baptism, did she?
No.
I don't think so. Okay. No. There's a lot of tension between her and Zoe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that new couple that's been coming, Albert and
Miriam.
Mm-hmm. Debbie said she called and was going to be part of the ladies' class.
Yeah, she was here
came
today.
This morning. Yeah. He did too.
Yeah, I didn't realize he has dementia. And
oh, he does.
Yeah, that's what Debbie said. She said that that's the reason she brought him. She says he's got dementia.
Okay. But did he stay? I didn't even pay attention that he stayed. I saw him driving her and dropping her off. Mm-hmm.
I'll have to talk to Michelle. So.
It was a guy, Donnell.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I talked to him a little bit, and I had to make it quick because I had to run and get my brother in the bathroom. I hated to cut it short. Has he been coming? Okay.
Pretty regularly.
Good.
And he went to your next steps class, didn't he one time?
He did a couple times, yeah. Wasn't ready to do anything. He just wanted to investigate a little bit.
Yeah. I saw David here again Sunday. Our Thursday morning, David.
Yeah, David Morris or Brooks. There's a whatever we read the book by Brooks, so David Morris. Yeah. Yeah. He just kind of comes every now and then. I had coffee with him a couple months ago, and I'm not sure what he's looking for.
Remember, he said originally he missed just like the men's group. Big men's group at the Presbyterian Church, and I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
Somehow that changed, and he was looking for...
And maybe the book we were reading scared him off.
Oh, man, yeah.
I wanted to tell him, hey, we're done with the book. Come on back.
What book was that?
The Road to Character by David Brooks. It was a hard read, but it was pretty...
I mean, it's good material. It was just very different and deep. Very deep in places. So.
Yeah.
Heavy.
Yeah. First three chapters were great. So great, I bought one for my son, Adam, and he took it and he read it in a couple of weeks, and I was still in chapter four.
How's he doing in his new job?
Pardon?
How's he doing in his new job?
Oh, that's my other son.
Yeah. Aaron.
Yeah, Aaron's doing, he's doing really well. It's a great fit. Great. Yeah. He's kind of in the same line of work as Dave's in.
Okay.
And, I think he's enjoying it, but he would never admit. I asked him if he's enjoying it. He's like, no, I don't enjoy having to work for someone else. He always wants to have his own business. So,
good.
But yeah, it's a great fit for him. I think he's really enjoying it. It'll be good for him. He's working at Promise Community Homes, that's what it's called.
Yep.
Yeah. And they provide housing and care, I guess, for developmentally disabled adults. And that's all I know, and Dave could probably fill you in more about what it is, because that's what he does in Jefferson County.
Their niche is to create the home. Typically, another agency comes in and provides all the supports, but the burden of finding a place and having it accessible and all those things and maintaining it, and so that's their niche, their mission. Mm-hmm. And so that folks can live in the community, not in institutions.
Yeah,
and so
that's great.
They've been around a long time.
Yeah.
Lots of really good people.
And they used to be called Rainbow Village. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's what I'd heard of that, but I'd never heard of the new name.
Yep.
So. Well, I work for the company that provides support. I got several jobs, guys. So Bridges. So I work with the clients there.
Oh, yeah.
With those support guys.
Is Bridges the same as the school Bridges over there? That's part of the.
I don't know if they're associated with the school, but their main office is in Maplewood. I'm certain.
Bridges is a special school over there on the campus of South County Tech.
Okay.
Oh. Naya went there a few times.
How's she doing,
Diane? She is in a residential facility in Waverly, Missouri right now. So.
Okay.
What's the name of the facility?
I need to ask me that.
Show Me Homes?
No. It's one word. Sounds like, no. 14 letters.
Is it a private Christian base?
No.
Okay. Because the Christian church has a couple in Missouri, a couple organizations. They have several homes around.
Yeah.
Our son Jeremy came to church on Sunday.
Oh, was he there?
Wow. Yeah. It's a tremendous blessing. Whoa, okay. My wife's sister and her husband were in town for the weekend.
Okay.
And extended an invitation to get together and took him up on it. And then his mom offered to pick him up for church if he wanted. And he said, okay.
So that's very nice.
Take all you can get.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes,
he
sir.
Looks great.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Dang, I'm sad I missed him. Talk on it.
Yeah. We went axe throwing on Saturday.
Just how is your axe throwing?
Yeah. I actually shined a little bit.
I
was
that.
Disturbingly good.
In a prior life, you
actually, the best of our group wasn't a very high standard. To be truth be told.
We did it with a CFS party, I think this last year. And so you had a bunch of ladies, and then you had Eric and I, who are real competitive. Uh-huh. We were the worst. Everybody else is
trying too hard.
Come on, yeah.
I still have not tried axe throwing. And, you know, as I think of new ways to spice up the youth group, I'm thinking, that's not a good idea.
No, that's not it. No, we didn't anywhere near an axe.
Jaden was the first person
that came on. Our attorney will step in.
Yes, I'm going to have to lead that one.
It's these office parties that have alcohol and axe throwing going as well.
You can borrow axes. They have an axe throwing thing that you can set up in here.
Oh,
that
really?
That would work fun. Yeah, somebody had donated it to them, and they had had it here, and we used it here in VBS or something because it was just sitting in here, and we didn't know whose it was, and they weren't here yet.
Wait, are you saying you threw axes at VBS?
Yeah, just for fun. No, they're the plastic ones.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Glad to hear that. Yeah, that's good.
Did you see any marks around the floor? That's what happened to that screen.
Yeah,
there
you go.
Anybody else? Somebody want to lead us in prayer about that?
I can do that. Father, we have mentioned a lot of folks here in a short time, and thank you for those connections and their contributions to the body and the folks that love them and helping us love each other. And so we lift them up with all their needs and blessings to count that we have mentioned. Specifically, we want to ask you to help Alice Ferry get the support that she needs, and may the social worker be helpful in accomplishing that. Thank you that Jerry Mickey had some good news, and we pray for relief for his pain. We lift up Jerry Donovan and his wife's cancer and how hard that must be, and we pray that he will lean on you and hear your voice in the middle of all that, and we ask your blessing and ask for her healing. Father, we pray for Abby and the choices that she's making. Help her know she is your child and loved and not alone. And we pray, Father, she'll make good choices that are healthy and steer her back to family. We know they love her and are there for her, and we pray she'll take advantage of that. Thank you for Elizabeth and how long she has been a servant of this body, and thank you for her giftedness. And we pray she'll get all the encouragement that she needs to hang in there and keep doing her best. We pray for Art McAllister's dad and the pancreatic cancer that is nearing end stage. And we, Father, as difficult as that is, we have hope that this might be a start of a path back to you for Art and his family, and a request for prayers is not a bad thing. And so we ask you to just please soften his heart and bless his dad and what he is going through, and may Art see you at work and return to you. We pray that for him. Thank you for Ed Bielik and how as encouraging as he is, and he keeps plugging away. Thank you for that. And we pray for Albert and Marion coming to church. And we ask your blessing on them and with his dementia and such. and all the others that we had something to say about the blessings of Jeremy coming and Aaron's new job, and we pray for Brad's sister and her healing, one step at a time. Thank you that she leans on you for that, and bless the doctors caring for her with both her heart and her knee. Father, we praise you for the work that you're doing here, for the encouraging example of Hezekiah seeing the big picture, and that still resonates with us today. Mm-hmm. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
One that I forgot to mention was, some of y'all remember Larry Mudd?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he was our Sunday. And we've always been good friends. Susan knew him in college at Mizzou and kept up with him. And he's, you know, he was the worship leader at the Manhattan Church of Christ, moved to Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and he's the pulpit minister there. It's just a small church there. And his wife filed for divorce about a couple weeks ago.
Oh, my.
And so we're praying for him. It's a kind of tough time there, and just the situation with the church. The church is supporting him, I think. And one of the elders wasn't, who was good friends with his wife, and so he resigned as an elder, and he left the church and texted all the members. It's not a real Christ-like approach to that. But he's, you know, he's 62, and he'd like to stay in ministry. And the elders there said that, you know, they've got his back.
Do you know if he still does that podcast where he is the role of God the Father?
He does podcast. I don't know if doing that specific one.
Yeah, I don't follow that, but the exposure I've had to that has been really good.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He does a good job.
Oh, he's good. That. And he just wrote a book. In fact, as you're saying that, I'm like, oh, yeah, I bought that book. I've got that book. I didn't even say anything about the book yesterday when we went out to eat with him. Be praying for Larry.
Okay, Steve, hospitality update.
Hospitality update. You know, we recommitted to hospitality. You want to just get some stories about that? And let me just, full disclosure, we're doing well with it since January, but if Susan hadn't been retired, we wouldn't be doing well with it. You know, just answer some. And I think about you with taking care of your brother. You know, that's your hospitality, I would think.
Well, I was going to fess up that I haven't been very good.
Well, but you've been showing hospitality.
Daily hospitality.
We teamed up with Kay and Marion, and every month we plan on doing it. And in January, we had the Mintons and the boys over, and it was wonderful. It was great. And then in February we had the Edsons and the Nicholsons. It was so fun just kind of visiting with them. So it was really, really good. We just loved it. It was great. And I told the ladies, after everybody left, it with Mary and Kay and Susan, I said, this is a lot of fun. We need to do this every week. I didn't have to do any cooking. So it's going really well for us.
Did you guys do a meal, a supper or something?
Yeah. And we just, you know, whoever hosts it does the main thing, and the others bring a salad and bread. It's pretty easy. I say that.
You show up.
Steve, I did put you down for Theo on the 23rd.
Yeah, we're doing
it. I didn't know if you had talked to Susan about
Susan,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And which, again, we couldn't have done that if Susan was working. And I'm just...
Is that the last opening you had to fill
for this semester.
So we're good for this semester.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. That's
already, already got my eye on some people for the fall. So
yeah. Okay.
Like the Vincents and whatnot. So.
Okay.
Well, Jeff and I were able to meet with Joe Shelley. That was a little tough because he was not super communicative, so our first meeting we had to reschedule, and then he didn't show up to it and said, oh, I couldn't have made it because I didn't have the car that day. But so we met, and then the next week he wasn't able to make it. But that was today. That was today, yeah. And we ate lunch. at Chuck's Hot Chicken.
So you guys saw him today?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I sent him a big email because he was supposed to have his chemo today, and I just...
It was last...
No, that was last Tuesday.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, I texted him a bunch of stuff, and usually he'll write back, but I didn't hear from him, and I'm just...
Yeah, I'm really glad we didn't meet last Tuesday because him having a big meal before chemo would be a bad idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's once a month now as opposed to every other week that he had been doing, so it's at least sort of getting better, but it may be more the rest of his life, to a point, is what he said today. He wasn't really sure how long it was going to be, that one time a month, or like once a month.
They said there's a good chance to be forever, yeah.
Depending on his numbers and stuff.
But very encouraging, he was considering not going for treatment this time, and part of it was because of nerve damage to his hands that made it so he couldn't play drums. And he's like, I don't want to go through further damage and get to where I can't get around and do anything. But his hands have actually been getting better. While his feet have gotten worse, his hands have gotten better, to the point where he's now playing his drums again and talking about wanting to get together with somebody and, you know, play with a group, yeah. Hmm. But like he said, his feet are unreliable. So like he can like do a little help around the house, but he's got to rest and he might fall down. And I think that makes it very hard to be dependable for a lot of different kinds of jobs that he might do. Yeah. And that's causing a lot of stress in their family. But he did say that he had some good conversations with his wife, which is like his primary concern when he talks to me is talking about stress on his relationship with her and with her not coming to church. But he said that she like had a moment where she saw his point of view and like came and hugged him, and like they connected in a way they don't frequently do. So it's been a little hopeful. Good. We encourage that. We're gonna meet him again.
Is he still driving?
Yes, but he only has a car on Tuesdays. But yeah, he is. Well, I mean, on Sundays. She doesn't work on Sundays, so he. I think they're down to one car. I'm going to meet Bruce on Thursday. He's always got a lot to say. Bruce Lohman. He's always got a lot to say, and we never have time to talk after small group because, you know, it's like late, and I got to take the kids home. So I thought I'd just give him an hour or two to talk about whatever's on his mind. But he has been sending me emails, and he's not, I don't want to tell him or anything, but, like, he's just a little bit, I don't know. His thoughts are a little bit darker in email. And so, like, I feel like maybe he's spent a little too much time stressing on politics. So might be good to, in an environment away from church, talk to him about that.
Yeah.
But I think he just needs some time with people.
Yeah.
Too much time alone. Mm-hmm. Cleaning up trash on the streets and not talking.
Yeah, I've been praying about it a lot, and we were dog sitting. We got rid of my daughter's dog, so hopefully we'll have people over. But I try every week to send out like 3 or 4 emails, so I just pray for people and just send them an email. And, you know, like on the prayer list, like Jerry Mickey and every of those guys, and just let them know, hey, haven't seen you, but we're praying about you. And so I'm trying to at least do that.
Such a long way.
Yeah, you do a great job with that. Yeah.
That is fantastic.
That's great.
What do you mean got rid of the dog?
Well, we gave her back. It's like, Cora, this dog is yours. You take it.
I was like, did you like get rid of the dog?
Did you ever see Old Yeller? So there's two movies a guy can cry in. One is Old Yeller and one is Brian Song.
Oh, yeah.
So you're a boy. It's like, Dad, what's he doing with that gun? Dad, what's he doing with that gun? And then you bang. It's like, you just can't believe it. So not that. Okay. After Old Yeller, I don't think I could ever do that.
I appreciate getting to pet the dog when you come over for the Christmas party.
Yeah, so. We still got the old dog, but
okay.
She's better with company.
Well, we're down to 0 chickens.
Oh. Wow.
One last Tuesday, I went in there. Got in the coop and he was dead.
Man.
What did you test for bird flu or anything?
No, because it's pretty secure. I thought about that. But the
chicken
other one
was probably worth millions.
Still around. But chickens don't do well by themselves. So we took her out
to one of Susan's coworkers that had some chickens.
Mm-hmm. So if all the chickens die, then you know.
Yeah, right.
So we're gonna get some more chicks coming up in another few weeks. So gotta start again.
So are we keeping track of all these people that we're visiting with so that we don't overlap? Or are we trying to overlap? Or are we?
I don't think it would hurt.
It's just that there'll be people that won't get touched. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm more concerned. Not necessarily that we all invite the mittens over, but that we...
Well, the overlap doesn't matter. Are there other people that...
Yeah, sort of keeping track there are some people that need to be reached out to is a good thing for everybody to think about.
Okay, how about a children and family minister update?
Well, no, I'm going to say, let me remind everybody, we're committing to more hospitality.
Amen.
So let me throw that out there, everybody.
Amen.
Keep challenging us on that.
Yeah. I'm doing the reverse. Instead of having people over, I'm forcing us into other people's homes.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay, about the children's family minister church update.
So we've had with Hannah Sullivan. She came to us through Cyber. Jennifer Schroeder recommended her. And so we've had two Zooms with her, and several different people had an opportunity to be on the different Zooms. And we kind of processed what we've been learning about her. After the first Zoom, we felt that there were some things that we didn't really get to really understand about that we thought was critical to understand a little bit more some of those details. And so we attempted the second Zoom to maybe, you know, pivot to some of those things. And I think we came away feeling better about that as well. And what we're recommending as next steps is to bring her in for an in-person interview is what the committee collectively is recommending.
McLaughlin sent an email follow-up on that, and I thought you guys were also going to address some of his questions, or no?
We've had some conversations offline about it.
Okay.
You know, and I know Jeff has some thoughts, and so I'll give him opportunity to express.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest concern, I mean, I put it in the email for everybody, that I think that we should reach out to the church and find out what the reasonings were, partly because she... at least in the initial interview, was very clear that she had no idea what it was. The second time she said a few ideas of, it could have been these, but never really being very clear. And what it leads me to think of is Michael's situation, where, and it takes me to the thing of, if you're getting fired, you're usually not thinking completely. So you're not gonna hear things. So Steve's here telling me he's firing me. Whatever he's saying, it just shut off. And so it's understandable. But there could be real reasons. And that's where my concern is trying to figure out what those real reasons are. It wouldn't stop me from hiring somebody. It would at least let me know this is the reason. Because if she doesn't know, somebody has to know what the reason was. And somebody had said that there was, like, the youth minister was fired around the same time, too. So... it could be the church, it could be anything and everything that's involved. And so at least getting a little bit more insight on that would be my concern. The reason is, so going back to the Michael picture, is I talked to Jeff Kreider a little bit more about that on Sunday. So he was very much unwilling to change. And there were things she had said in her interview that she had done that they didn't want done. Or in the second one, and that made me think, oh my goodness, that's very similar to what had happened. The coaching that was done with Michael, and he just didn't do it. He didn't care that the coaching was happening, and I'd hate to have us pull somebody in that was, she's saying that she would want to coach, but if she was uncoachable in that situation, the chances of her being uncoachable in the next situation is also very high. And so...
So those are some good concerns. We, I heard some different things, though. I think what she did say in the second interview is that she did have some difficulty processing what had happened, and she really didn't want to process it because it was just too traumatic for that experience, right? And so she said she realized that she could not take that position permanently, so she began to think of through some of those things that may have led to her separation, and she started processing some of those things. I think in terms of her coachability, I get the sense that she's very coachable. One of the things that she always said several times, she said, hey, when I go in, I ask them, hey, what are those sacred cows? I don't want to be making any major changes, you know, things that you guys really think hold dear or near to your heart. I don't want to be messing with those things, and you let me know what those are. And I think the experience that she went through has made her very coachable as well. Just listening to her as we've been walking through some of these things. So I don't have that fear of her coachability, but you really don't know until you bring a person in. And I think the other thing that, several things, okay. When you think about this, is my theory, and I'm not saying this is the gospel, or about the top tier candidates, like we're probably not the landing spot for those people. I think our kind of focus is finding that diamond in the rough, somebody that has the potential that needs some coaching. This is a place where they can get that, right? And so when you even think about Jeremiah ended up being a very good children's minister, but when you think about looking at where he came from, he wouldn't have been attracted to some of the more preferred locations. His background was Pentecostal, was in Church of Christ. He didn't go to any of the affiliated schools. He went to Arkansas Tech. And when we found him, he was in a Methodist church. Those are a lot of turnoffs for a lot of the... And so he had to figure out how... And one of his goals was, hey, look, I really want to get back into the Church of Christ faith community. I feel like that's really my calling to be in that community. And so we were kind of a transition place where he can get back into that. So he was kind of a diamond in the rough, right? And I think the other thing that, as we think about candidates, while we need to be thinking about it that way, in my opinion, and like I said, I don't have all the answers. I'm not trying to pretend I do. But the places that are preferred are places likely in the Bible Belt, likely have a very active young single community, which we don't have. We're not there in the Bible Belt, nor do we have an active young single community. So there are going to be candidates that have a lot of options going to go there. The other place that probably will have some advantages over us is that you're not necessarily in the Bible Belt, but you have a young, active, single community. We don't have that. So as we are thinking about candidates that might be attracted to us, some of those who we probably would consider exceptional, we may not have an opportunity to get those candidates. So we are focusing in those that maybe are just have some capability that needs some coaching, right? And so when we're talking to these candidates, we're trying to find, okay, are they a good fit? Is there doctrinal alignment? Are they open to participating in a worship where there's women participating? Is instrumental music an obstacle for you? Is the candidate coachable? Do they have a preference for a diverse faith community, right? Those are some of the things we look at. And then capability, can they effectively plan meaningful events for children and families, and ability to recruit and maintain good relationship with volunteers? You don't know that for sure, but those are learnable skills. And then there's people that can help with that. Do they have a willingness to work with families, that, you know, the whole approach, the family ministry approach? And can we understand what their classroom management is like? So we're trying to learn these things about the candidate to determine, are they a good fit for us, right? And so and we will not necessarily have a complete picture of any candidate, even once you bring them in,
right?
You know? Yeah. And so we thought that we were at the point with Hannah to bring her in. But to your point, we do think that we need to call Walnut. They may not be very forthright and tell us anything, but that's definitely on the to-do list in terms of what we want to do. The next steps is for us to make a decision here what we want to do. And if we say, okay, is to call Walnut, just make sure we have the references that we need from her, send her a statement of what we believe, like we did with John, and then do a summary of the gender statement, you know, not that full thing, just summarize the gender statement and send it to her, and then let her, you know, kind of process that. If things are still good, well, then we'll invite her in for an interview. But check Walnut as well. So those are kind of our next steps. And the other thing that we would like to do as we go through this process, we're all in agreement, is before she comes in, is to have an MOU in her hands, Dave, so that she can see what that is and see what she's agreeing to with that. And if the statement of belief, what we believe is not an obstacle, the gender role, which we've already discussed that. We told her that Melody has preached, and she was, you know, she didn't blink when we told her that.
And most of that generation, a sigh of relief when they hear that. Yeah. Although you got some in the South that a sigh of anxiety.
Yes.
Steve, remind us again who's on the committee and their overall general.
Ross is on the committee. Yeah. Nathan is on the committee. Your daughter Melanie's on the committee. Hannah Grimshaw's on the committee. And Jason Vincent's on the committee.
And they've all had a chance to talk to her?
All had a chance to either talk to her live. He's watched the Zoom. Either the first or the second. Ross is on the first one live. And then Melanie was on the first and second. Jason was on the first. Hannah was on the second. But everybody's watched all the Zooms. And we've had times where we've gotten together and processed what we've learned to kind of figure out, hey, why we think this is a good fit or not. So we've had those times.
I would say you guys got this. Yeah. And you guys, you can make a decision and.
We don't know for sure, but she just feels like, you know.
Yeah. Well, I support where you are and what your current plan. I mean, check that reference, check the with the elders at the church or whatever, and proceed with your plan. I think.
Okay. I agree. The one thing I was thinking of, I had one reservation. It may be related to where she was, and it's not her fault. It's just the way that God made her is. She's got a speech impediment.
She does.
And kids, you know, maybe the kids couldn't get over it. And so, like, maybe the church, the elders can't say we're firing her because, you know, the kids don't get along with you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe she didn't know because, you know, again, I'm just being hypothetical here.
Did you have a chance to watch the Zoom?
Right. So I watched the Zoom. And so that's the thing is.
She did address that.
Right. And so I'm just saying that's the only reservation I had. Now, she's a very sharp lady. She graduated summa cum laude. And I'm just wondering, though, you know, again, just that the kids may not have reacted well, and maybe that's why they had to let her go. And so the only thing I would say is, you know, just let her get with the group of kids and see how that goes. But I think, you know, you guys have that planned.
I would love, I don't know how, this will be awkward. I don't know how to broker this. I probably wouldn't try to have somebody else how to do it. But if she comes on board, I would wonder if Dara Kosicki would be open to, because Dara was a teacher, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Was he a speech therapist? Or
I don't know what her role was. I think she was in education, and so, and she has a speech impediment. And so, I don't, you know, I think that would be a good connection for Hannah.
I would just be cautious with that, because it's probably something she's, I will not approach it.
I will not the one to approach that. I will not be. But if we can figure out how to connect those two in an informal way.
I'd love to see it more as a teaching thing for our kids.
I mean,
if we've got, you know, I know kids can be cruel, and but I mean, those are teachable moments, you know.
Yeah.
And I think this is not something that we're not going to face in life.
No kidding.
Yeah.
At every turn, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I talked to Dudley Chansey, who used to be the head of the department there, and he said you know, she was a great girl. She did very well in his classes. And he said, just find out why she got fired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she addressed us. She said, you know, sometimes kids are more honest with me. She said, they say, you talk funny.
But, and a lot of it is how she...
We need to check. And I actually think, and Steve has agreed with this, is that probably Steve is a better call there because I don't want to be a hindrance in terms of me being an African-American or whatever, you know, where I'm trying to broker trust and get, you know, convey something here. And so I've asked Steve to make that phone call. And he might be a little bit more successful at getting information because. The other phone calls I will make to other references, but that particular one, I think I prefer. And Steve, thank you for agreeing.
If I could kind of speak on the coachability, I think for what I've seen a trend of young ministers that have someone to help guide them into a new role. I've seen a few other young ministers and they have someone, and I've had Steve since day one, and that's been a huge help for me. And
secret weapon.
it was the first NCYM that I went to, and I realized how big Steve was, and I was like, this is the guy that's mentoring me. Like,
I'm having Aaron Judge as your batting coach. You know?
I was just dumbfounded. But I don't know. I've heard stories of Michael. So I can't speak much on that just from stories. But if I remember in the Zoom interviews that she was asking, like, would I have people to help me?
She did ask those questions.
Like, you know, on board. Yes. And I think, you know, I'm about 2.5 years in, and I still meet with Steve almost weekly. And so if she could have something like that, because she's slightly younger than I am.
Yeah.
I think that'd be helpful.
I think that's key. Yeah. So after I was in the Zoom, I went back and rewatched it after our conversation with Steve about it to kind of see what she had really said about Walnut. Mm-hmm. Because she said, I don't know why, and that stuck with you. But when I went and rewatched it, she actually had a lot to say about why, and it was just between the lines. Mm-hmm. Like, she mentioned that it was the first time they'd ever had a children's minister. And so the church was not sure how children's ministry should work. And it was her first time being a children's minister. She had been an intern before, but never been in charge of a program. And she said that there was no one at the church who really, like, could mentor her and, like, tell her what to expect. And, like, when she was facing challenges like struggling over suddenly not being in part of worship service anymore because she's off doing the thing with the kids, she didn't know how to deal with that. And, like, you know, I feel like our church would be good medicine for her because we have those resources that we've been doing this program for a long time. We've had people who've been in the program running it, and we've had people who worked closely with the ones running it that could help bolster her and lift her up. Also, I personally want to point out that she started that program in 2021, and that was when churches were coming back after COVID.
Yeah.
And a lot of churches weren't right. A lot of churches lost people and were, like, financially having problems and having conflict about how they'd handled it. I know we had our own struggles with that. That's a tough time for a church. And, hey, you're a new person to a new job that's never been done before. And if it doesn't run perfect, I could see a church saying, we can't do this. You know, we got to rethink all this. Also, like, when she's thinking about it, the way that that they cut her off, where she did not get an opportunity to say goodbye to kids or to parents or even, like, be at church with the people, that's like when you're a minister, you're supposed to be becoming part of that church family. Which is also one of the questions I had about something that you had said about maybe she could go to another church for church service, you know, find a church that's one at a different time. Like, a point of a church service is being part of that church family and integrating with that church family. And to leave a job without being able to say goodbye to people, without having a clear explanation of why, like, that was ill treatment from that church.
So those are red flags to me, though.
I think that says more about Walnut than it says.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
So there's questions about that, though. So if you think about this eldership and they fire me, let's say, potentially, and they tell me, we don't want you back here at this building again. What are the reasons? So this is where it becomes a big red flag in my mind. It's not necessarily that she did anything wrong. It could be. It could be just the way the eldership was, and they just were not set. So I've been fired before. I've been sent away by two different churches. So
we asked to not step back on the ground.
So neither of them. But the situation is that it's one of those things that when it happens, there's two options. One is you let them come and say goodbye. Another, you say, we don't want to see you here ever again. And that's what happened with her. So in that situation, you sort of want to know what the reason was. Mm-hmm. Because it'd be different with Michael. He got to come back. He got to say goodbye. We had a party for him. Because my kids were in the youth group. So I know what all happened at the end. But I know that it was a pretty rough leaving.
It's true, but it could be a problem with the elders. I mean, right. It could be.
Correct. Yeah. And that's why it's sort of.
I don't want to come back stirring up people, since we fired her, because we don't really have a good reason why we fired her.
Yeah.
It could be a lot of things. So.
But that'll come through in a conversation.
Well, maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah. Maybe not. Yeah.
But didn't Melanie also come back and say she did research and said that their current youth and children's ministers are related to the preacher?
Yeah.
Only the youth
ministers and the preacher's son.
Yeah.
I would say that if you ask Jeremy Picker or Michael their views on us, and you would ask the elders who were here their views on those two, they would not line up. And that's us, right? And it would not be a stretch for me to see that other churches are doing the same. And so,
But just some insight is really all
I feel
that needs.
What's the law? Because I know, like, as a business, we can't call a previous employer and say, hey, why did you fire them? We can say, when did they work there, and would you hire them again? But that's the limit. So because we're a church, it's different, or?
No, you could.
If a prospective employer can ask those questions, they can't force an answer.
Right. But they can ask.
Often the
force an answer.
Of the previous employer can typically just say, this is the dates they worked, this was the job title, are they eligible for rehire? And they stop there because they don't want to expose themselves to wrongful, disgruntled accusations.
So that's like an HR policy.
You can ask.
You can
ask. But they don't have to answer. How long has the gap been since that event where she was let go?
I think it was 2021, late 2022.
So she's, in the meantime, she's doing what?
She's working for a chiropractor. I think one of the things that she said in her interview, she said that was such a traumatic experience for her that she started doubting whether or not she was called for ministry.
Okay.
And through this process, she said she's been reignited that ministry is her calling.
Good.
She feel like this is, and quite frankly, Jeff, she was excited to hear that you will be part of her onboarding if she's hired here. Knowing that the role that you've had, and so that they gave some comfort to your point that there's somebody there that can help me along, and she was wondering about mentors around her, like parents that she can work with that might be helping her along the way. So,
and she could have made some mistakes at Walnut Church of Christ. Mm-hmm. Makes her a better minister now.
It could be. Failure can we bring perspective.
How'd you guys do when you were 21 and 22?
Not so good.
Perfect.
Not so good.
Wait, we learned good from
point.
Our mistakes.
Good point.
I was going to say Moses had a speech impediment.
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that shouldn't be a restriction, I wouldn't think.
Yeah. And look who Jesus chose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'll send you a memo of understanding that's customized for that position.
Okay.
Based on our budget and, lays out benefits and things.
Okay.
Actually, that memo of understanding, that's all lead minister relationship stuff. We really haven't generated that for
children's minister.
Children, I feel like we have one somewhere.
Do we have one for Jeremiah?
I was just thinking dollars and benefits, but there's a whole page of relationships and duties and peeled from the job description. So that's.
I feel like we got it somewhere. We may not have called it an MOU at that point. Probably.
Do we have one for Jeremiah? Do we? Did we create one for him?
Do you remember anything?
I don't know.
I have a list, but mine is not. So I wasn't involved with the final of Jeremiah's. So I was only at the very beginning. But.
Did we have one for you?
You did not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You just gave me a paper and said, this is the fact.
Go for it.
I will see if I can find one with Jeremiah.
And I have that downstairs.
I'll look too.
So. Okay.
So is everybody good for Steve and committee to proceed as we've discussed tonight?
Yeah, these are good steps to do before you schedule that.
Yeah.
That's all.
Thank
good.
You, Steve. Okay. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.
I'm telling you. Best thing we ever did was put Steve.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sending the staff, Steve.
Let's stop here. I'm concerned because you're now on staff. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of more elder stuff to do. Do you feel that?
It's hard to distinguish that sometimes, yeah, Steve. There was a time where I would close my door and put a note on an elder duty. Don't do that anymore.
And I would say with that, really don't cheat yourself. Yeah. And I'm talking financially.
Yeah.
Don't cheat yourself. Because it's... Yeah, anyway, I'm just going to leave it there. So just,
Because I'll come in his office and talk his ear off for like 2 hours.
Yeah. At least.
All good
great
things.
That's great.
All right.
There are two other documents too. There.
Nathan, tell us what's been going on. You hadn't been here about 10 years.
It's probably half a year. And before that, it was probably another half a year. Yeah. So I'm averaging 2 elders meetings a year. Well, first and foremost, I want to express my sincerest gratitude for supporting my ACU journey. Because I was definitely not... You had no obligation to do that. And if you wanted me to be around for a long time, all you had to do was say that. Because that's at least 2 years. And so I thank the eldership for that decision. That makes me like, you know what? I owe a lot to these guys, so I'm going to do my best. And
hey, it's our pleasure.
Yep, it is.
Well, I think I already try my best, but, you know, I'm going to keep doing my best. And for a long time. Now, as most of the group already knows, I already have the set goal to see the group that I started, the sixth graders I started with, graduate. That's at least 7 years. So they're currently eighth graders, so a couple more years. But
I hope you end up – my goal was 10 years. After 10 years, I thought – it'd be crazy to leave now.
Yeah, just got it figured out.
Yeah, and with the average stay of a youth minister in most churches, it's not great nowadays.
3.8, I think it is.
3.8 years.
Yeah. It used to be 2, so it's gotten longer. But
you know. So then Andrew really breaks that mold by staying for 14.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to hand you 2 documents. One of them is just the just a comparison of. I won't talk about it. You can just look at it. But I had brought a pretty much a breakdown of what all we did in 2023. And then on the backside will be 2024. Ross has already seen it because he has to suffer through the parent potlucks. But and then the other thing is something that Steve and I talked about, saying, well, the elders, you know, may not know some faces of our students. And we've had a lot of new faces. A lot of these past 2 months have been insane.
Yeah.
I've been like constantly with the group and had a lot of new faces. And like, there's not been like, you know, in the first 2 years, there's been spurts of like, oh, you hit 20 this time on a Wednesday, or maybe it's like 13 to 15. Like in 2025 alone, we've not hit less than 15 for barely anything. And so we've just had a lot of kids running around. It's kind of chaotic. You know, my gray hairs are starting to come in. take one of those.
And remember, we hired this guy. He just finished up a master's in data analysis.
Which is that piece. And then this is the ministry piece. And so you can take one of those and pass it down as well. So that essentially what that is there's pictures of the kids. So you could be like, okay, I put a name to a face. There's what grade they're in. I forgot. There's one for me too, so it'll get back around to me. Essentially, what grade they're in, some notes about them, then their discipleship model activity. On the front page, you'll see our discipleship model, which I've pushed a lot. Those six main things that we do, and then parent information. And I think that's the most important piece that I wanted to discuss. And you'll see some stats on the front page about parents. There's 32 kids listed. Out of those 32, 17 of them have at least one parent here. And then only 11 have both parents. Of those 11, 8 of those kids are, you know, they're related. As saying, like, you know, Max and Allie, David Evie, Fred Jackson, Jacob Henry. Have both parents. And so the demographics is so weird. As I was making this, it was like, this is so weird to see, because you have kids that go here that may not be involved in anything. But then if you look at Evelyn and Caitlin Shane, who are Rosaline's neighbors, they're involved in all six discipleship model activities. You have kids like Jordan involved in all six. Who parents don't go here but has family here. And I would say more. I think Don, do you have extra copies? There should be 9 of those.
Oh, sorry.
He's trying to hog all of them.
I was just stuck on David Blackbird's picture there.
You know, I have so many pictures, Corpus. And I got to go through and pick different ones. So you'll see a yellow or red star on some of them, and that's just like to say, hey, shepherds, maybe check in on these parents. Not the kids, I got that covered, but the parents. And so you'll see one for like Zoe and Ezra. Just the case of, that's some Steve and I talked about the other day, of like Eli, you know, maybe had this window of maybe it would have been easier to step in and have conversation with him. I think the window's still there. He still sings on praise team, and he's still involved. And you know, he came up to me, he's like, hey, is father-daughter date night this Saturday? I'm like, yeah, you should sign up. And so he's pretty active. But as Ross, you said, I didn't know there was a friction between Courtney and Zoe. But I don't know how much Eli has to do about that. But that's his daughter. So that can't be easy. So maybe he's someone that the shepherds kind of check in on. And then Jacob and Henry, I'm not concerned with their parents. I'm really not. That the stars there are more of like a, I know that the Mintons are still learning. They're still gaining knowledge about God's word, and that's not a bad thing. And this is a place that they have chosen to be to do that. And so maybe that's more of like a checking in on them and study with them and encourage with them.
If we can get
them
into a small group.
Yes.
Or some kind of Bible study. That probably
exactly.
Be good for
Connect
them.
Group. Which leads me to my only red star on here, Lillian Horam, which sixth grade, she was very active. The beginning of this year, she was not. And then because of SALT, as I expressed to people, SALT is the eldership of the youth group. So we do kind of the same stuff that we do here. And I say, all right, who's going to reach out to XYZ? And so Harmony had reached out to Lillian. She came on a couple Wednesdays, and then I said, that's a great step. How about invite her to be in the group me? So then now she's in the group me, and she was pretty talkative to say hello to everyone. And but my biggest concern is her parents, and I've talked with Steve a lot about this. It's just, and you've probably noticed, they sit in the hallway during Bible class time. They're not even part of the foyer class. They sit on their phones. In fact, in service, they sit on their phones. Jen and Jim. It's hard to say back to back. One time I was walking down the aisle during communion, and they were all, it was both parents and Lillian, just all looking down on their phones, and it breaks my heart. And, you know, I've been to her basketball, soccer game, so I got to sit with them and talk with them. If you sit with them and talk with them, they will talk. They talk a lot. But you have to approach them. And so I've gotten to know them a little bit, and from talking with Jen last school year, she's been here a long time, and so it's more of like a loyalty thing, it seems, because I don't know who they talk to or who they connect with, and I'm thinking, Well, yeah, sure, they're here. That's great, but it's more. This church is more about just being here on Sunday and checking off the. I went to church, and so, like, who do they talk to? Who could we get them in a connect group? Could we encourage them to stay for fellowship meals? I know they came to Trunk or Treat, but I don't think they do anything outside of that. Not that I've seen fellowship meals or father daughter or church or treat or anything. And so they're a parent set that I've had my heart and my mind on a lot. And so, you know, as me and the youth group work on Lillian, I think the shepherds could have a hand in working alongside the parents as we work on Lillian, who is up and down, and she's very sports heavy. I know sitting with Jim at her last soccer game, she plays soccer and basketball. She also runs track. And what he was saying is that she doesn't want to do track, but he makes her do track to stay in shape for basketball and soccer. So it's one of those families where sports are like the main, like, you know, we're going to push you to do sports and, you know, do all this. And it's like, it's not much you can do there. But I think that's a red star in my book just from their engagement with the church body.
So can I ask, so Brad, do you know much about Jennifer Horum? Because she predates the merger, like by 5 years at least, is what I know.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, this is what she told me. Yeah. She, like, 2008, 2009 time frame is when she started coming here. But I assume that was prior to them getting married. But I don't know anything more, and I don't know if anybody else does about them.
No, she's an attorney.
For a company.
Yeah.
And he's an investigator with the casino.
Used to be. He works for the city of something, or the county, one of the cities or counties.
Oh, really? That's
a
recent
one. Well, yeah, the last time I was talking to him, he was like, yeah, this is what their policy is now for something. And I'm like, you work there now? Yeah. Huh. So that's what I had thought, too.
Yeah.
But it's been recent.
Yeah.
He told me which city, but I can't remember which one it was.
But no, I really don't know hardly at all.
Well, as you remember, or continuing your hospitality mission, that would be a good one, a really good one to go for. The other recent concern I've had is with Ethel, and that is only because I texted her about Reset, our upcoming spring retreat next weekend. And usually, you know, she'll respond, or usually she, because Fred and Jackson, they are, as what I would consider youth group trip guys. So they were, even when I was in youth group, there was people who would only show up for trips. They both came to spring retreat last year. They both came to Refuge. Fred came to Breadshed in October. Fred came to Youth in Action 2 months ago. So I was like, sure, that's an easy sign up for Reset. I didn't hear back from Ethel. And then at Salt this past Sunday night, Izzy was telling me that she had texted Fred and asked if they were coming. He said no, but that she also felt like Ethel was avoiding her at church because Izzy is the the rock of our group. She's the enforcer. I just look at Izzy, like if Fred and Jackson walk into church on Sunday, I go, hey Izzy, and I point. She's like, she's on it. She goes. She's the most inviting, most mature kid, one of the most like Christ kids I've ever met. Yeah. And so, you know, that was weird for me to hear that, because you know I would assume that Ethel would believe that Izzy would go up to her to be like, hey, what about Reset? And so it was weird for Izzy to say that she felt Ethel was avoiding her. I don't know what's going on there. So I put stars by them just to check in, maybe, because they both have come on major trips. That's what they do. They both wanted to go to All Team last summer, but it was too late to sign up. They'll probably go this summer. So just a thought there. These brand new girls, McKenna and Layton, have been around since like late January, early February, because it was Youth in Action that Layton's family visited, And I came back because I missed that Sunday for Youth in Action. They were like, hey, we had visitors and, you know, they're here for youth group. I'm like, oh.
And they come for a trunk or treat, didn't they?
I don't think so.
I thought that she was the one that you had given the packet, like the...
No, that was to someone else. Okay. I don't remember her name.
But yeah, so the father and the other, one of the other siblings came to church now a couple of times with Layton. And I've met him both times that he's been here.
I still have not met him or anyone in that family.
And they've not been back since we talked about it.
And that's weird. So,
like on Sundays.
So they both live like across the street practically, a little down the road.
And McKenna gave a devotional 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
She did the Devo, and that's because Liam was supposed to do it. He had work, and so I said in the group meeting, hey, if anyone has a Devo, love to hear that, unless, otherwise it'll just be a worship night. And she was like, I have one. So I was like, okay, cool. That's a good way to keep a new face around. And she's come the last 2 weeks without Layton, who was the one who initially brought her, and so... Mm-hmm. They're both in the group me. They both have been pretty talkative. At least there was at least a 3 week period where the group me was just popping off and popping off. And people who don't check it that frequently were like, I have 600 messages. it gets drastic sometimes. And then Erbo was one on my heart. I had texted her happy birthday in January, was checking in on her. She said she had been recently going to Twin Rivers on and off because it's closer. I don't know if anyone had talked to Audrey recently. I know she was part of your small group on Wednesdays, so.
Yeah, they've had lots of problems all throughout the winter. And being around the house is where they've tried to stick around, I think is probably a good answer. And they live fairly far away. And they didn't have a car for a while, I think, isn't it, Brett? And so that's where going to church there is a lot easier than going to church all the way over here.
How do you know how far?
They live near Ronnie's. So if you think, do you know where Ronnie's theater is at?
No.
So South
Lindbergh,
County.
South
so
Lindbergh.
Ronnie's is here. Their house is right on the back property of Ronnie's.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Hmm. So it's like what from church?
It's 30 minutes. Okay. But
oh.
Or 25 minutes.
25.
Yeah.
25.
Yeah. So if you just take Rock Hill and just keep going and going and going, it'll actually end up at their house.
All right.
Because it's right up.
Cool. Well, just a thought there. And then on the last page, there's a couple names there. I didn't give them their own little boxes because they're more like visitors, but frequent visitors. Evie Bardwell is very good at bringing friends. Yeah. It's kind of crazy how... like if you didn't know, I do like a punch card thing. So like they start a punch card, they bring a friend five times. I punch it five times. I'll bring them dinner on a Wednesday. Nice. So Evie's finished one punch card with Kobe, although they haven't cashed in their dinner. Evie and Kobe were having some friendship problems. I think they're good now. Amelia has two punches and Frankie has two or I think three now. So she brings friends. So
you're gonna have to buy like a whole meal for like the whole group.
Cater.
Well, we've finished a total of like 7 punch cards since I started that. Some people have been like last year it was Sydney who brought Paige, who we celebrated at graduation Sunday, but it was also her ex boyfriend Kyle. So it's like okay, that's the. But I mean. People want to bring friends, and they all want to be there. So that's been really cool. But just to see the involvement in the discipleship model, at least over this school year, has been really cool. I know, like, for Ross, it's harder for you to bring the kids out here on a Monday for churches on the streets. But, like, to see Liam, how Liam, like after he came last month, I mean, it was just cool hearing him talk about it. He was like, I can't believe, like, well, first he was like, this is so sad to see people living like this. He's like, I can't believe I've been missing this. I need to be down here every month. He's like, I need to be doing this. And I was like, wow.
Then he went and got a job.
Yeah. Then he went and got a job.
Now he works on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings.
So. Oh, come on, Liam. Yeah, because...
I'm hoping when summer comes, his schedule might change. But
I was looking forward to hearing his Devo. I mean, he's just one of the most interesting teenagers you've ever heard speak.
He's very comfortable talking to adults. Like, he has no trouble with it. Yeah, he's very cool.
He's a kid who had to grow up sooner than they should have, like Izzy. But yeah, Liam's just something else. And then Jaden also expressed his, like, how him and Jordan were giving away shoes at the table, and they were talking to some guy, and they were like, "What size shoe are you?" Like, 10, 9 or 10. He's like, "All right, we got some right here. It's going to cost you." He's like, "It's going to cost you one hug." It's like, so it's really cool to watch Jaden and Jordan do that kind of stuff, especially Jordan, who 2 years ago never spoke a word and only snored in church. And now he's one of our most talkative kids who I spend so much time with because I drive him around everywhere.
He almost got arrested in church the other day. He had his hoodie on, and the safety team are like, "Hey, who is that guy over there?" I'm like, "Which guy? I didn't see anybody. The guy with the hoodie."
Nope. Jordan is
He's been here every day for the last, every Sunday for the last 5 years. So
I was telling Steve, because Steve is now his ride for Wednesdays, and talking about, like, what do you talk to him about? Like, how do you get him? I'm like, talk to him about. He tells really good stories. He tells stories of stuff that happens downtown. He'll talk to you about wanting to go into graphic design. So when we were at Youth in Action at the Oklahoma Christian table, we were looking at that table. They were like, he was like, "Do they have graphic design?" I was like, "Yeah, they're right there. And they can get a 50% discount for being in Church of Christ." And so I'm trying to push him that way a little bit of like, "Hey, go to maybe check out OC." And, you know, I'll try to drop some spiritual stuff there and there, but, you know, it's a little less of that because, you know, but it's a work in progress. As we look to the summer kickoff and welcome the new sixth graders, I've tasked some of our leaders to speak a blessing over our new sixth graders. Mm-hmm. And so I've tasked Jordan to do Zachary. So we're going to work on that. We're going to have to, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to write that for him, but the fact that he didn't fully fight me on it, you know, we had a little convincing, but and he just is involved in everything, and he wants to be there whether or not it's for Jesus or fellowship or what. He's literally everywhere and involved in everything, whether he knows where we're going or not, because most of the time he signs up for trips and he doesn't know where we're going. He's just along for the ride. He's faithful to the group. I've seen so much growth, and you know, just very impressive.
Like teenagers. Liam, just going back to him, so he is Electa Sax's grandson.
Yeah.
He didn't know which grandma he's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, just to see the number of kids whose parents don't go here is amazing to me.
It is.
Nathan, this is great. This is, I mean, it's great in itself. It's a great tool just
to
have.
That's a great document you put together. I don't know, it took a lot of time.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve, for the idea.
Yeah, the execution.
it helped me too, because I think about all these kids all the time, but like at different times, and now it's just compiled into one space for me to go through and be like, okay, what's going on? And, I mean, I got to chop it up to the kids who show up to SALT. I mean, they've really helped me this year, because I give them partial ownership to do things, and I as much as I may talk to some of these kids, no one wants to be invited by the adult, the old guy. So I leave it up to them, and you know.
And you consider yourself the old guy.
Let's move on.
They call me. They all the time, they're like, "Nathan, you're pushing 30. I'm like, "Okay, well, it's whatever." But
Nathan, does Isaac work at all? Do you know?
I think he does. I think he works at Redco or somewhere.
He has for scholarship, for reset, and I want to see him go, but it's so helpful if they'll just pitch in something. So do you feel like maybe a $10 contribution is a reasonable to ask them to do, and
I think
a scholarship
fair.
Fund to do the rest, just to plant that seed that, you know, if that's reasonable for him and he works, let's do that little bit.
I was telling Elizabeth, I don't know the family's financial situation.
Right.
And I also know that we just raised over $2,700 for this kind of case. And
right,
you know, And now in my mind, $75 was nothing, but I understand the...
It's just the pattern that's set up and expectation. And so if we could try that, if you feel that's reasonable, if he works, then
absolutely.
$10 will cover the rest and make sure he gets there. And if that becomes a barrier, then okay, we've at least broached the subject.
Yeah.
That sound right?
I think $10 should be more than doable.
So. Can I ask, how much is Jaden taking advantage of those funds?
The what?
The funds for helping.
Not as much as he should. And well, I keep pushing him to.
We haven't had very many requests from anyone in the last year.
Yeah.
It's been very low, and we do have some.
Well, I've talked to his mother, and there is a fund that was left by his father for him specifically, and she's using that to live on. She's burning through it. Mm-hmm. But part of her defending her right to have control over that is she has to prove that when he has a need, she covers it. So when she's made aware of things, she will put up the money for stuff. But I know, like, she'll go on a bender, things will be bad, and Jaden won't want to talk to her. So he might be afraid to approach her, and that's tough. You know, he needs to talk to us about that, and we need to work with her and give her an opportunity to fulfill her obligation that she wants to do.
Yeah. Okay, so he shouldn't use the scholarship.
Well, I'm not saying shouldn't ever. I'm saying we need to make sure that he's made an attempt to talk to his mother first.
So in recent months, and the reason we haven't used scholarship is because we've had what I call shoulder tappers. People, they say tap on my shoulder if students need help. And so, for example, Steve paid for Jaden's refuge, but he didn't go to refuge because he was in trouble. So Steve said, put that towards Youth in Action. So then Jaden brought the rest of $60 to cover Youth in Action. Mintons, some of the most generous people I've ever met, so they paid for Jacob and Henry to go to Reset. And then I guess they didn't know that I don't charge chaperones, because their first trip with me was Youth in Action, where I do charge chaperones a little bit because it's a pricey event. And so they signed up and they paid extra. They paid, for both of them. So $75, $75 for $150. And so Elizabeth said, hey, they paid too much. Just go chat with them about that. I was like, I know exactly how this conversation is going to go. I'm going to say, hey, you paid too much. I'd love to give the money back. And they're going to be like, no, just use it for something else. And that's exactly what happened. I went to them at the variety show and I said, hey, you guys pay too much, you know, we could give that back easily. And they're like, just, are there some other kids who want to go to Reset? And I'm like, I mean, yeah. And he's like, put it towards that. So two kids. So then I just put that towards Jaden and Jordan. I said, hey, your Reset's been covered. So they don't have to worry about it. It's a lot of shoulder tappers we have. But we also now have the scholarship fund, so I want to do less shoulder tapping because we now have a lot of scholarship money.
Yeah. This way they have to actually do something to get it. And like how Dave's talking, they give a portion of it, like they pay themselves, as well as then they get that part to take care of the rest, which is a little bit better of a methodology than getting it all just paid for and you feel you've bought yourself into it as well.
Yeah.
Filled out the form.
And don't hesitate to shoulder tap, because that's good for people to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do want to insulate you some from those decisions. You know, forward those requests, and then as a benevolence guy, I get to see those, and Elizabeth and I, she fills me in on what she knows. But, you know, if there is a reason to say no or say, hey, can you kick in $10 or something, I want you to be able to say that's coming from the administrative group or something. And if somebody gets denied to go, I don't want you to bear the brunt in your relationship, you know.
Right.
I want you to have some insulation. But we also need your input on all of that. What's appropriate, what feels good, because we want as many attendants as possible. But if you just start, you know, anybody asks, they get it. It's a good thing for a little while, but then that becomes the pattern. And it's healthy to have the folks are tuned in to what folks need, or pitching in a little bit is just so healthy, and it stretches it that much further. So that's kind of what I want to be seeing as we go forward. It's such a blessing to have a fund like that.
And keep it going.
So.
And speaking of finances, just to share with you guys, with Izzy, I've talked with some people at Harding that I know, and kind of told them Izzy's story, and man, I've been really proud of my alma mater. They just started a scholarship program called Aspire for those that don't have the academics to give them some. And she's also, as an orphan, I sent a letter attesting that she was an orphan, and they just take 25% off. Mm. And then they've got it worked out where she'll have to take some loans out, but all she has to come up with is $3,000 a year.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I've talked to her aunt, and even talked to Izzy, that one of Tiffany's friends, I think, is going to take care of that $3,000. But there's a $9,000 in there that she'll have to take loans for. Yeah. And I think I'm going to work on tapping on some shoulders to try to bring that down, because when she gets out, that's a lot of loans that she'd have to pay off. So.
Well, thanks, Steve.
We compared this to the $32,000 that she'd have to pay everything.
Right, right.
It's almost nothing.
Yeah. All right, guys, we have got a long agenda here. Anything else?
I'm retired. I don't care.
I think that's good.
Okay. Thanks, Nathan. Appreciate it. Good report. Okay, Steve, you want to tell us about your conversation with Philip and Sarah?
It went well. We talked with them just about the possibilities and asked them, you know, is this something you can feel called about? And they're going to be praying about it. And they kind of shared with us how they work, which kind of blew me away. I've never heard of a couple that can work that well together. She said that when they went to Hungary for the first summer they were there, they were teaching English, and Sarah was all organized for, you know, they each of them would do 3 hours a piece. She was really organized, you know, just had it all down, and her classes didn't go real well. Philip wasn't as organized and was engaged with the students and everything, and his went really well.
But they were getting the work done, though.
Yeah. And so they decided the second summer they went there, they would work together. Mm. And instead of just 3 hours a piece, they worked 6 hours. Mm. And it went so much better. And so that's how they've been working. Mm. And even with the mission work they do, they both know what their strengths are, and they work in tandem, is what he said. Mm-hmm. And so they said that's what we would get from them. And so they're heavily involved in the mission work that they have there. And I think if you've had a chance to listen, as that was recorded, and they're going to pray about it and just see what God has to say. So is that pretty good?
I think so.
Yeah. And he's gone for the next two weeks.
And we told him, we said, well, we can't wait a long time. You know, I said timing is. We talked about timing is everything, and they understood that, so they'll give us an answer.
I got the impression it was nice to be able to listen, and they're in a good place right now, and so this wasn't on their radar. And oh wow, and you know, but they were very encouraged by the engagement. You know, just even approaching them about it, which sounded like a really healthy perspective as they. You know, he's not going to do what he's doing forever.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, so I don't know what's that going to evolve into. But it does sound like they're in a good place with what they are doing.
Yeah.
It's a good fit for them and where their heart is and that kind of thing. So I left that not expecting that to develop into anything.
Yeah.
But
that's what I lead towards. But they're going to they're open to God.
Yeah.
Yeah, been listening to a lot of these interviews. It's amazing how many people we've been talking to. I got the same, that it was a long shot, but, you know, Philip also said, you know, I never figured I'd adopt a special needs kid. I never figured I'd work in Africa and say that. So he's going to pray about it. But the other is, we would have to revisit some of our prior statements on women's roles. Because at this point, we have said that we are not at the position that a woman could be a senior minister. So that, I think, would be, I think there's just a lot of hair on this, that it would take a while to get to that point, that we would just have to have some discussions. If that's what they said, is this is a joint role, and that Sarah's going to be up there as often as I am, that I think just based
did
on
he,
our...
Did you say that?
They were hands.
I think that's the impression. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like he was saying, because you even said it's a two-for-one, mm-hmm. and... Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that we couldn't get there, but we would have to get there. It's a position that we would have to change in our current understanding of things. And so I just want to be honest with that. If they say they're all for it, we would still have to have a lot of conversations about mm-hmm. it, in my mind.
And he'd still keep his 25% foreign missions work, it sounded like.
Well, Steve asked that question twice, and he never really answered it. You know, because Steve was asking, you know, what is your time commitment? He said, I'm doing 25 here and 75 here, but he never really said, if you're being our minister, what are you not going to do, and what are those percentages? And I listened to it twice. It's like, I don't think he ever answered that.
Yeah, the way I felt was that the 25 would stay, but you're right. Yeah. It wasn't very clear.
Yeah, he didn't say.
Sure, it's not very clear in his mind.
Yeah.
And even with, I guess I never really thought about the senior minister. I wouldn't even, I could, just like we have shepherding couples, our wives aren't elders. Right. They're shepherds.
I
think it was pretty clear, though, that she would expect to be preaching and.
Yeah.
Just from what I heard, yeah. Which is, you know, I think we...
And pay structure would have to be different, too. I was telling Steve this morning that if we're hiring really two ministers, even though they're married, we couldn't just say that we're hiring Philip and you're just the bonus, like we historically had done with churches. Mm-hmm. It's not the same here. It's a completely right. different ball.
Right. So I think there's hair on it, but I also thought that, you know, we say Philip's going to be gone for 2 weeks, but it's sexist of us to not to say, well, what about Sarah? Mm-hmm. And, you know, have we asked her?
Yeah.
And you know, because when we're looking at, you know, the preaching rotation, you know, do we just have her up there ever? So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out, that there's, even if they were okay with it, I think we would still have to.
And they were very careful to say, we understand that you've got somebody coming in this weekend, and if...
Yeah.
You know, that were to work out or whatever, we totally understand. And yeah. That's when he said that this was not on their radar and yeah. not something that they're, yeah. So I think you're right. I think if we ever did change direction that we wanted to pursue that, there it would be a little more journey on that.
Yeah. And I think they would understand the journey because they came out of the same pot that we've come out of.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. Okay, so that's more. Everybody got enough information on that at this point? Mm-hmm. Okay, about anything we need to talk about this weekend or with John coming in? Sounds like it's pretty much...
Yeah, ditto what we've pretty much done in the past. Okay. Friday we'll get together with staff and have a meal with John and Laura. Then Saturday morning we're up here, 9 o'clock, do the... I don't think Ross, you're not coming. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll be up here at 9 o'clock and couples and questions like we did with the others. And then the ministry leaders on Saturday evening at 6 up here. And then preaching, teaching, and then the meet and greet for the congregation on Sunday.
And Steve, you did a great job sending out the email to the ministry leaders. Here's this one section from our last meeting notes, just to remind us. When John preaches, we would like feedback from the congregation, but especially from Matthew Bardwell, Eric McPherson, and Jason Vincent. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it still seems like a good idea to me, and I don't know if you were going to send them an email just saying, hey, we would just really appreciate you guys to take careful notes and just give us your feedback.
Why were we asking them specifically? I wasn't in that meeting.
Well, I think what I had suggested originally was that, hey, maybe we should involve them now before we maybe make the decision to invite John in. Because he was a little different candidate than we had thought we were going to be proposing to the congregation. Mm-hmm. And it was just get a different perspective on some people that would respect their opinion. Mm-hmm. And I think we said, hey, let's modify this. Well, maybe we don't need to do that right now, but we can maybe provide some opportunities to listen to them once he comes in. And so I think it was just... you know, it was a modification of the original thought, you know.
So heads up on that, though. So Eric will not be at church on Sunday at all.
Yeah,
exactly. So he can listen to it after the fact, but he won't be here. The Bardowells will be in children's worship for church time.
Okay.
So they'll be there for class time.
Okay.
So just, Jason, Wilka is in class.
No, Wilka's teaching my class.
Wilka's your class. Yeah. Yeah, so I knew that she was doing one of them. So Jason's available for all the people. But they're usually late, so hopefully they'll be here in time to get to worship.
Yeah, right. And then Jackson?
All right, so I guess we need to decide what we want to do on Chris Jackson. I mean, he's a guy, he's had two. I got a recommendation, and you see what you guys think about this. And so his preparation is stellar, I mean, in terms of how he's kind of got himself positioned in terms of his education. So there's no doubt that he's paid, you know, the dues there. He has no experience as the lead minister. And I don't know if you guys listened to his preaching. I listened to several, three, and it wasn't engaging for me. It was good stuff, but I had to make myself pay attention to it, you know. So that was one. But then I started thinking about his intangibles, the things that might be good, like, his background as a youth minister, his current position as a college admission counselor, so that provides him, you know, some giftedness with the next generation, right? So then the unknowns, is his in-person preaching more engaging? Because we did, it was all online, so I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that. And has he evolved as a preacher since those videos? So the best I can tell, that video that I looked at, well, a couple of them, but the one I was able to date was 3 years old. It was April 2022, so I don't know if he's evolved as a preacher. Is he engaging and approachable and likable in person? Those are things that I don't know the answer to those, but I think those would be potentially good data points to better understand. And what I was would recommend if we decide we want to move forward with him, and this, you know, it's just a thought, is that not do the full weekend. He's in surf seat. He's in a drivable place where he can drive up, and maybe invite him here for a Saturday night and have a couple people go out to dinner with them as elder couples, and then let him preach and teach on Sunday and see how he's engaging with the congregation, and then be able to evaluate that based on that situation. So, those are based on things that are unknown to me that I would think I would want to know. Those could maybe help me answer some of those questions, whether or not to pursue him further. So those are my thoughts.
Yeah, my thoughts are, let's wait and see how things go this weekend with John. And then, you know, based on that, you know, how much warm and fuzzy we get out of that one, we decide on what we do with Chris would be my thought.
Okay.
I don't agree with that. Because I think it's, you bring a second guy in and you pick one guy, it gives you a comparison, and the guy you pick makes him look even better. And
we end up like the last time, and we brought both of them in and couldn't decide very well.
And that's the thing, is the congregation have seen multiples, and, you know, it's just going to be a different preacher, you know, in 3 weeks apart, and we've already done that. And so, I mean, if there's a compelling reason to bring him in, I'd say yeah, but not just to make John look good.
I think my compelling reason is that, do we think he has the ability to evolve as a full-time minister? Because he doesn't have anything in his background to tell us that based on his experience. And so bringing him in, for me, will answer some questions that some of the questions that I still have outstanding in my mind. That's why I would bring him in, is that it'll help me to engage with him in person and see if his person persona is a little different than what we've experienced, you know, with online. And
right. And I agree fully. If John flops, I would say yeah. But, you know, I think if John has a good weekend, I would just say keep riding that horse until it doesn't look good.
Well, and I have concerns about John just because of his age.
Right. Right, and I do too, and I don't know that, I mean, we're still going to have to deal with that and say, John, you know, this is a five-year term, and we will revisit in 5 years. You know, once you're 65, we're going to have a conversation.
Well, I think once we get him, we don't talk about 5 years. I don't think that's what we do.
Well,
but then I say that I'm concerned about his age, but then I also know how God works, and so I'm open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. So,
I think if he comes in and let's just say he could flop, you know, as far as response, but he could also hit a home run, and we could get such an overpowering response from the congregation that he would be the right guy, regardless of whether he's here 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, or whatever. So, I'm very comfortable about him coming in this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
My only thing about Jackson is, I like you, I was not really blown away with sermons at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, the one that I watched, I listened to a couple, but the one that I watched on Zacchaeus, that was 30 minutes that it could have been in 10 minutes, I think, you know, and it was, and that just seemed like, and that may be a three-year-old sermon, and he may have gotten beyond that, but that's what we had to look at.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a whole lot compelling me at this point for him to, for us to have him come in, you know, so, but again, that's just me.
Okay. I understand.
I'm certainly not a preacher either. But
I understand.
But I think John, I think you're right. We've got concerns about age maybe or whatever. Yeah. But man, if he comes in here and hits a home run.
Yeah, and I think he will, just his personality and his gifts that he has.
Well, there might be a lot of people that have the same concern about the age, you know, and would say, no. I think we're set up to, I think this is, as Brad says 100 times, we're laying the fleece out here. Mm-hmm. And I think come Sunday, we're going to know one way or the other, is this a right track or a wrong track, you know? And then.
So do we want to do the surveys like we did last time with Josh, do the bulletin? Brett, I think you were kind of leading that charge.
I can do that if we want to.
I mean, I'm not asking a question. Do we want to do that?
Well, I think that's otherwise we will be pulling responses out of people. This that seemed to get people to participate a little bit more.
Okay.
And then how quick do we meet to talk about it?
That's Don's call. He's a
if John is here this weekend and we give everybody a week to get back to us, that gets us to Sunday the 16th, and our normal schedule would be to meet Monday the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I think that's our evaluation cycle.
I'll bring the Irish pie.
Okay. St. Patrick's Day.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that seems timely. That seems timely enough to me.
Yeah, we didn't meet on Tuesday before because I always worked on Tuesdays, but now I'm phasing out, and so I'm every other Tuesday I'm working. So
okay.
So Tuesdays, Mondays are hard for you.
But the third Mondays are good.
Okay. Okay.
So that 17th.
So then you need to let Chris know something probably.
Yeah.
Okay. Especially if we're not going to make any decisions really until after we get past.
Well, but and even have we already made a decision about Chris?
Yeah, I mean, everybody else weigh in. I mean, I think if there's enough that think that he's a viable candidate, we ought to bring in, as Steve suggested. So I support that.
My only viability, so I would throw it out there that if we were, so John is out of the picture, and we're down to Andrew and Chris. At that point, both of them have not a lot of preaching experience. And Andrew seems more exciting.
Mm-hmm. Agree. Mm-hmm.
So just like the liveliness of him.
Mm-hmm. More energy.
And he has more experience too in ministry, in rounded ministry versus just children's ministry, youth ministry. But still, the situation is you don't want to bring a preacher in that is stuck or isn't able to preach. Mm-hmm. And so we don't know about that about Andrew. I mean, he does have sermons out there, I think, Brett.
He had at least one.
But so I mean, that's one of the things. In comparison to that, I could see bringing him in at that point, possibly.
But, so settle with John and then bring in those two together.
Correct. Because, I mean, we're still really far from Andrew coming in, mm-hmm. even though he's here in town. Mm-hmm. It'd be easy to get him in here, probably, but...
Mm-hmm. I'll say that Andrew, I listened to a sermon of his, and he did have that, like, you could tell he had not preached a lot because he had a little bit of that hesitation. Mm-hmm. But his words did flow. Like, he wasn't pausing. He wasn't stumbling over his words at all. Like, he has done... enough public speaking to, right? It's probably youth minister
youth
stuff.
Ministry, yeah. Yeah.
We've seen that youth ministers can make pretty good speeches.
Some can. I just give my piece on Andrew. First and foremost, just know that if he ends up not being a good candidate, that affects nothing for me. I know I'm open to God choosing someone, but I am excited about Andrew because I know Andrew and I absolutely love Andrew, and he is young and you know he's loyal because he's been at one place for 14 years and
it wasn't an easy 14 years there either.
And we meet every month, and so we get the inside scoop of the things that he goes through and he does a lot of stuff for Von Hill, and so you know he's a hard worker.
He does.
And he still just goes through it. He goes through the grind. And I did look up one of his sermons because I'd never heard him preach. Yeah. I've heard him do devotionals and stuff, and I was just like, wow, that was really good.
Yeah.
I'd never heard him preach, so I was like, I need to hear him preach before I get too excited, and that made me more excited. And so plus, you know, I don't have to get to know him because I know him. Yeah. Steve, you don't have to get to know him.
Yeah.
So just know I'm excited, and if you decide no on him, that's not going to affect how I feel about you. But I am really excited.
How many of his children would be in your youth ministry?
Three. And I'm already close with one of them.
Yeah.
So his oldest daughter, Lillian, and then I just met his two twin daughters at Refuge this past fall. So
and the youngest is eight.
Yeah.
And I listened to his sermon because I hadn't heard him preach, and I was pretty impressed with the sermon. And I didn't join Steve on the Zoom.
Yeah.
I kind of backed out because I'm friends of his, so I thought it'd be best if I didn't.
Okay, anybody else? I mean, does that sound like a good idea to hold off on?
Yeah, I kind of like, let's let John, we're on the doorstep of him coming in, and so let's see where that lands.
Yeah.
And then we've got two candidates to pair up on the next wave if that becomes needed. That makes sense to me. I do think if we do invite Chris in, it ought to be for the full weekend.
Yeah, if we're going to do it. Yeah. If we decide to go with the two candidates the full weekend as opposed to just getting
Is that something that you can communicate reasonably to Chris? Will he?
He's Steve's the lead on Chris.
I was going to ask you, how, what do we communicate to him right now?
Yeah.
Say,
Well, I mean, would it be wrong to say that we do have a candidate that's coming in this weekend? So we'd like to get through this weekend and an assessment by the congregation. And then we've got two on deck, including you, after that, that we'd like to then focus on. And
that's good. That's
I've been pretty transparent with him, and he said he really appreciates he appreciated the whole process.
Yeah.
He thought that what we had was a good process. So I'm like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
So, I'll just get back and say we've got a guy on deck that we're looking at pretty seriously.
We've had just the one Zoom with Andrew?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Just yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah. I hadn't seen that, so,
All right.
And with Andrew, I don't think we have to, we can wait till next week.
Yeah.
Just talk with her.
And so can we get another set of the elders' questions for the interview session
on Saturday?
On Saturday, emailed to us.
Yep.
Just,
I probably have them in my folder.
Okay, Steve, you want to talk about a preaching schedule?
Yep, I would love to. I met with Kreider today when we kind of talked. First, I'll pass out the preaching schedule. Some stuff I put together, he and I put together.
Thank you.
we'll want to do a mileage reimbursement check for John.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's driving in. Okay. We're covering the hotel, I'm sure.
Yes.
Directly.
Yes.
So.
Okay.
Talk with Elizabeth about, I don't know what his mileage is. Oh, she can probably Google there. That to okay. know, but okay. now's the time to get that ready.
All right.
These are extra. And here's, I'm giving you two different things here. I'll go through them. You know, we got John and then we got Ted. It looks like I need to fill in the 23rd. And I've been hesitant to go much past that because I'm not sure what's going to go on with bringing people in. But then looking at Easter coming, I talked with Jeff about, I suggested us do a series leading up to Easter, and we talked about it. And so what we really liked was we got a few ideas, and Jeff put together a few ideas, more than just a few.
Yeah.
And pretty, when I was reading, I'm like, holy mackerel. And in fact, some of it's more depth than I feel comfortable just giving to one of ours, our lineup of people. And so as we talked about it, we thought about starting a series on repentance. Mm-hmm. And the and Jeff would do the first one on the gift of genuine repentance. And then he would also get with those that are speaking during this series and kind of give them some ideas and kind of help just equip them for this. And then look down, Easter series suggestion, the gift of genuine repentance series, and that's number 19 on this. And it gives you a little more detail there.
So Steve, I have a question real quick. So the 30th is the Next Gen Sunday.
Yeah.
So generally one of the Next Gen ministers does the sermon on that Sunday.
Yeah.
Is that not happening then?
As we were talking, we didn't know. I didn't know anything about what you guys had planned.
And we had talked about it, but we also talked about how the next one in June, you're out of town, and I'm coming back from middle school week, so that could be a bit questionable.
And so we didn't know, and so we put this together, not looking at more than just two, but then we also said, talk to you guys, see if you guys have anything planned. If you do, we can move it down some.
Because I'm happy to preach again, just
summer
gets a little rough.
So it's all up to you guys, whatever you guys want to do on that, and we can move it down and just, or you can start that series.
Yeah, so I mean, the thought was that one of us would do the 30th and the other would do the 29th.
Okay.
And so if that's okay. So I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it works. So we'll put.
And then that way it'll be more kid focused, where I think that the topic seems a little bit off topic from kids. And
yeah.
So, I mean, I can talk about repentance, but it's gonna gonna be the.
I mean, like
the same way that Jeff has it focused.
Okay, here. And this is typed out, but it's in pencil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah.
I mean, I did come up with that little thing to help the teenagers remember what repent means. Just
right.
And they remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Can we come up with a different title than Easter?
That's exactly what we talked about during staff meeting today. Yeah. That we should, and even on my calendar downstairs, I told Izzy not to put the word Easter on there, to put the resurrection.
Amen.
Or Jesus' resurrection or something.
Yeah.
Just dropping that word out of our vocabulary.
I don't mind Easter. It communicates, but I'll do whatever you guys want.
It comes from a pagan source, and I just find it, difficult to, use when.
But most people don't know the pagan source, and they see that word as celebrating the resurrection. But
they don't. No, so that's a misnomer.
Because they think
about
disagree with
collecting
the people.
Eggs, and that's what they think about when they hear the word Easter.
Well, I would just ask.
I disagree, but I'll do whatever you guys want to do. I
would just ask, what do you call tomorrow? Today is Tuesday. What do you call tomorrow?
Wednesday.
And what do you call the day after it?
Thursday.
And what do you call the day after that?
Friday.
Those are all Odin's Day, Thor's Day, and Freyja's Day, right? So those are all Norse gods. And it's just, it is what it is. Nobody, it's just accepted. And I would say the same with Easter. You know, nobody thinks of Wednesday as a special day given over to Odin.
Well, just to the point,
Do we have to discuss this right now, or do we all agree it's so cool to call it resurrection so we can, like, keep going?
Yeah.
We can do whatever you guys decide.
I think he's okay, but also I'm fully on board with let's call it Resurrection Sunday or whatever. And
let's do Resurrection Sunday.
Okay. And, okay, and so then you guys are going to take care of the 30th.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the 29th. Nathan will take care of
it. Okay,
I'm more 29th. If I could prep it enough time, I could probably preach that.
Or I could Sunday. Preach from Hungary, I mean, on my birthday. But
I'm also going to be starting school in early May, so that on top of summer. Yeah.
So, okay, so you, Jeff, you've got the 30th, yeah. You got the 29th, and then we'll, and just the... having the starting the series on the gift of genuine repentance, starting that on the 6th. You guys okay with that? And even that series, I'm bringing this up, this series okay.
What series? Good. Which series is it?
Series on the series on repentance,
it's on number 19.
The gift of genuine repentance. And we'll get... And with Easter, Jeff is out of town, Easter. And so one thing I thought of is putting Philip in there for Easter. And then thought about Kaylin or Matthew. So now we just shorten up. We just need, if we do Philip on the 20th. If, again, I'm asking these people. They know nothing. This is the plan that I was going to go with y'all's approval. And looking at Matthew Bardawell, we're thinking, well, anyway.
So on the 6th, we're starting the repentance series, number 19?
Yes.
So we've got 2 weeks to do a 3 to 4 week.
Well, we won't do a 3 or 4 week.
Right, so.
2 weeks, and then 2 weeks plus of Easter. It? Yeah.
Okay.
And then... on the 27th, start a new series for 6 weeks. Take us to June 8th. If you look down there, the 27th through June 8th on Small Things series, that's number 14 is what we were looking at. That looks like a fun series to do, and it's just so much. I think you can do a lot with that. And one thing we talked about, Brad, you would do a good job with Gideon, preaching about Gideon. And having the small army.
And when does this start?
Pardon me?
When is this 14 start?
27th.
Look down at the below on the series, schedule. Right.
So just for the next, so 27th and 4th?
Through the 8th.
No, through the 8th of June.
So even on Memorial Day, Senior Day, and yeah. Mother's Day?
Okay. And Senior Sunday would not.
Yeah, but. Senior Sunday we would not, yes.
Okay.
That would interrupt the series, but the series would then continue.
Whatever happened to saying we were going to have an elder preach every month? That just disappeared.
I don't remember us saying we'd have one every month, but we can do that. I mean, I'm open. Whatever this group wants to do.
Well, I kind of feel that I think that would be a good thing for the church to, you know, see us standing up there from the standpoint of, you know, being apt to teach and so on.
And being apt to teach and apt to preach are two different things.
Yeah.
And I'm whatever this group wants, I'll do. I'm just trying to get us moving forward with it. So it's, what do y'all think about getting an elder up every month?
I don't feel like we have to. I think it would be a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, and if any one of us is so inclined, I mean, Brad, if you want to sign up for one, I'd sign up for one. You know,
the 23rd's open.
Yeah.
I would say I don't have a problem with it, but I sent out a document, you know, who should preach. And, you know, I think that it matters who's up there and their abilities. And, mm-hmm. and you know, kind of like we were talking about Chris, you know, great guy, but you just can't deliver a sermon.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think if we've got people that are willing and able to preach, yeah, but...
And back to that, you guys had mentioned Matthew Bardwell, Eric, and Jeff. And Jeff said that's too much for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's too much for Eric, too. And then even with... and then Jeff didn't think Matthew would go for that. That's quite a bit for some one person.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then those were those three, and Jeff right. and I talked about that.
Yeah.
You're saying to do a whole series themselves? No,
just every rotation of those okay. three.
Like once a quarter, maybe.
Yeah. And I wasn't at the last two elders meetings, so I don't know about the discussion. And there, I guess when we went through all of the preaching right after Jeff, when we had a whole lineup of different people, I got positive reviews from people on the way we were doing that. And I think we saw that there's some that are pretty good teachers, but not as good preachers. But then I remember this Carson Reed's, you know, the liminal period. I think it's okay if we have some, you know, and it helps us even more to welcome the minister when he comes in. And these are just my opinions, and whatever you guys say we do, I will do whatever you guys want to do. So.
I mean, I sort of lean that way as well. I mean, I think...
Lean which way?
Your way, as far as thinking that... I like your list of things that we want in a preacher, but I think that's what we want in a preacher. Mm-hmm. You know, in this interim period, I think hearing from any one of us would be a good thing, but it may not be the most powerful lesson we've ever heard, but hopefully it's somebody expressing a thought or a lesson that's on their heart or whatever. You know, I think there's no harm done in that. You know, particularly, I mean, even if we had somebody that fell flat on their face,
I mean,
hopefully that's not something that's going to be, you know, mission critical to our continuance as a church, you know, so yeah. I like Steve, I kind of like the way we've been doing it, you know, with hearing from a lot of different voices, but if there are some that we realize just shouldn't be up there, then we can handle that, I think, through scheduling.
Yeah.
I think if we're judicial, I just think giving the pulpit to anybody is
mm-hmm.
you know, not ideal. Because, again, who plays the piano on Sunday? Steve Hopp. You know, who would dare take the piano from him? I can play the scales, but, you know, it's just not the same. Mm-hmm. And so do you want anybody just to get up there and play the piano? No. And so and I think preaching's more important, so... Mm-hmm.
And I'd even thought about getting the teens to some Sunday. And will they do a great job? Probably not.
Yeah.
But what is our purpose for being together
is
to encourage one another.
Yes,
and that encourages me.
I'll tell you, one of the most formative things in my teen years was an elder coming up and asking me to read a scripture, to give a message, a devotional thought, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I wouldn't be able to... get up in front of a group today, probably if somebody hadn't shown that sort of confidence in me, you know. So I don't want to discourage that either.
Yeah. Right.
I guess that's a reason I give them that monthly opportunity.
Yeah.
To like,
yeah,
hey, you guys teach. You got
it. Yeah. And
I've heard some.
And
Steve and I
have
heard some
pretty
awesome
pretty
things.
Selective for a Sunday morning or
whatever,
yeah.
But they have some good thoughts, and maybe it's not just one, but like
Get three of them up there or something like that.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then just, this is in the same topic, some Sunday morning, if, say, you're preaching and you end up getting deathly ill, all right, we've got the plan B. A plan B is, and I've given it to Kaylin, it's just going through the Sermon on the Mount. And we've got worship for that. We've got songs, and we've got the scriptures and with six readers, which in my mind, I was planning on just having the six elders. And I gave it to her before I went out of town, and I think she got different people. You and her worked.
Yes, she worked on that. She found some people, and I don't know if she ever even asked.
Okay, good, because I would rather be the six elders.
Well, but the thing is that if you're not there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Brad's deathly ill.
So that's a plan B.
That was her reasoning for it, because most likely, any given Sunday, one elder is missing.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And I
don't want to be sexist, but I'd like to have men, because Jesus is the one that spoke that. Anyway, that's just something on the side that if we...
I can get them dressed up in my Jesus costume downstairs.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, back to the topic, Doug.
Okay, yes. Anything? Do we need anything tonight?
I need some direction.
The 23rd seems to be...
What kind of direction is this? In terms of what?
Well, is this the direction you want to go? Do we want to get the three, like, you know, you guys mentioned the three people regularly going, and I don't know how we would do that.
Yeah.
But I can work on it if that's what you guys want to do.
Well, I would certainly want to incorporate them as often as we could.
Sure, yeah.
But then I would be for saying we could still substitute, just like you've been doing.
Okay.
Anybody that you feel like is capable and willing.
Yeah.
And if any of us want to sign up for a slot, I said Steve would probably accept it.
I would, yeah. And I have one on the 23rd available right now.
There you go.
Of August?
Of March.
Way ahead. Okay, Brad, here's your chance.
So, Steve, on here, you talked before about getting Katie, Trevor.
Yeah, I talked with her, and she said that she didn't think they were at the point where they could do something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, and again, when you ask her, it's just for them to preach, not for Acts to do worship, because there's a difference.
Okay.
And
I'll have to look back at my text and see how I worded
it. She told us
in the staff meeting one point, and I don't know if you were there that time or not, but that's that situation, that it's the most possible would be for her and Trevor to come.
Okay.
But that's even questionable, right, too.
I would not ask her for Acts, because that's way too much to ask for her. But just, we would love to hear them preach on a Sunday. They could just come tag team it.
Okay, I'll text her and see.
They'll be out of town the next 2 weeks, so they can't do the 23rd.
Yeah, they can't do the 23rd. Yeah.
So who's open? Brad, are you open for the 23rd, or is that too short of a notice?
I think I'm in Nashville the 23rd.
Okay. Now, and what Brad brought up is having an elder every month. Give me some feedback on that.
I'm with Don. If elders want to jump in there and do something, they'll come to you and say, I got something on my heart I want
to
share with the congregation. Yeah. You know, but if Brad wants to be in a regular rotation, I think he's well qualified to be in a regular rotation. If he wants to be, you know.
Well, and I'm looking, in the next week, I'd like to get scheduled down through June 8th. Mm-hmm. I'll sleep better. and March 23rd, one thing I think of maybe getting Jerry Jones to come in. Mm-hmm. I know you're not real fond of Jerry Jones, but I got a lot of good positive about Jerry Jones, and I've asked him a couple times, and he was already booked, so I can call him, see if he can do the 23rd.
I'm okay with that on the 23rd.
Okay. For you preaching?
No, Jerry Jones. Oh,
well played.
Okay. And then, Jeff, you've got the 30th, and then I'll work on the resurrection series, and then I'll work on the small things possible, or small things series. Does that work for everybody?
Sure. So theme-wise, John has his own theme that we gave him.
Yeah.
Ted.
And Ted, I told him, something that's on your heart, just the ones to preach to himself. Okay. And then
Jeff will start on the 13th. Is that
on the 6th?
On the 6th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know what series would be around by the time my Next Gen Sunday comes? Because I had months of preparation for that sermon. If you want
to, you can do whatever you want. We'll do a series and end the series, and you can do your thing.
Okay. Because I had months to, like, think about it. And, cool. Yeah.
Well, it'll be, yeah, there was only two more before. Hooey.
I don't even have 30 days.
Also, the time now.
We could take the small things series through the 22nd. I hesitate for a long series because our society's attention span.
I mean, that Luke series that Jeff finished with, that was long.
That was long, yeah.
And then having the Dope Bomb class at the same topic at the same time was a lot.
Yeah.
But it was good.
It was good.
And I think wrapping up, I mean, I think he wanted to work his way through Luke as he was getting approaching retirement. So. Yeah. But yeah, that was long.
And and here's for you with your are you still with the spiritual formation group?
Yep.
Yeah. So here's some ideas.
Yeah, we have a similar thing that he had given to Betty.
Okay.
But it's longer now, so
yeah.
We should not tell him more ideas because now we have like 1,000 ideas.
Got a bunch. Yeah. So do you have what you need?
I think I have what I need. Yeah.
Okay. Guys, we're gonna have to move here.
Okay.
And move quickly.
Okay.
So Dale Simpson, Connect Groups, we got an email that he's kind of stepping down.
Yes.
Is there anything we need to?
Not at this point. I did reach out to him and ask him for some thoughts on how he see the transition happening and what are some of the things he thinks are critical for us to think about in the next candidate. So I think that's.
And we've not talked about the Connect Groups. I'm not sure. I don't feel like they're going all that well. But then my attitude may be skewed because of the group I'm in.
Yeah.
It's a little, for 10 years I've been in it. And
I take offense at that.
We finally got him in it, and it's much better now.
Yeah.
But again, it's a bunch of retired people, and everybody's gone. I mean, it's just, but then also they're not real transparent. And so Susan opted out because of all the stress. She's like, I get nothing out of it. I'm not going. But now that she's... Now that she's retired, she's going to start coming. I don't think it's going well.
So this gives us an opportunity to evaluate the groups and figure out what we think is a good model for the groups moving forward.
Yeah.
We haven't thought about that in such a long time.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll give us the opportunity to kind of think through some of that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I think, though, that is only partially true because I think some of the groups are going okay. Mm-hmm. Well, and like ours is going okay.
Yeah, I think there are some.
And then there's some that are going well and flourishing, and then others that. So I think that there's going to be that scenario. So like the one the Mickeys are in, they're doing a very good job at keeping track of him, but they don't meet anymore almost.
Yeah, they meet once a month for dinner.
Even that, I don't recently haven't been able to do that because of Jerry and them. But they take him communion every week, somebody. Mm-hmm. So, which is really positive. That's good. So, I mean, well, at least while they were here in town. So at least one of the families will go either bring food to them and have communion together. So it's a very good picture of it, but they don't really, this meeting as a small group doesn't really happen anymore because of that.
Well, I know the young families group,
that's
a pretty powerful one. They get together real often. And
Keaton Jones group is still thriving, I think.
Steve Jones is?
Keaton Jones.
Okay. And I would suggest maybe we let things keep going, and then in the summer we usually take a break, and in September or in the fall we kick off on something new.
Okay.
And who's our admin minister? Oh, yeah, get him in. and really look at that. And again, if we can get somebody other than the elders doing this and really taking this baby and going with it.
So we leave it. Maybe shut down for the summer, look to a new start in the fall.
Yep.
In the meantime, I think it would be very good for all of us to make a point to tell Dale.
Yes.
We really appreciate what he's done.
Yeah. Yes.
And do we have any, maybe this is another discussion, somebody that can tag team while Dale's gone until we start the new?
Well, I think that's part of the consideration, right? It's talking to him about maybe a possible step in, somebody that would want to...
For the summer, you mean?
Or no, just somebody that would maybe have a interest in kind of coordinating or helping with the...
I didn't ask him that specific, but I can definitely ask him that question.
Hmm. But that would be the consideration before we start up.
And, Okay.
If you guys can hire a children's minister, I'll volunteer for that.
So it's essentially what Dale does is, like, new people come to him who don't have a group and say, hey, I need a group, and then he says, like, hey, here are options.
And he's attempted to try to keep the groups engaged or, you know, thinking about some of the same things. Or,
He's gotten the group leaders together a couple of times.
It's a tough job.
He's not done a whole lot on some levels. So that's usually the ministers that have been trying to push people or the small groups themselves noticing that and talking to them. So it's a very... finicky little system, because some of the groups have been together for 100 years. And
and it's trying to transform groups. We did try it 30 years ago at Mid-County, and it was a disaster.
Well, like shake them up or change them up or something?
Well, shake them up, change them up, and all of that.
That's going to
Oh, yeah, by the way, that was me that helped to create that monster. So okay. 30 years ago, not me.
And I just real quick on this, too, is I think it'd be good to reevaluate that, but I think waiting until we get a new senior minister. Yeah, and again, the other thing that John may have experience in this and know how to skin this cat, and again, just wait and see, you know, what skills this other minister brings in.
Okay, faith in action. Is that something we can just push?
I mean, so sort of, but no. So the fact, I can just say this, that it's on the calendar for April 7th, and somebody, whoever's, I think you guys have been the ones usually arranging it, need to start getting to the process of arranging it.
We'll
because
do that.
The last one got canceled. The last two got canceled. And so...
No, just the last one.
Was it
We had one last year.
And so we've already have one cancellation that's our permanent calendar this year, and we would prefer to not have lots of them, especially in the spring, and it just gives a bad name to the things that we have on the calendar as not being important. So
yeah, we'll work on that, and we'll get things going on that. Thanks for reminding us.
Elder retreat, I think, is that something we can push?
Yeah, we can push that.
Yes.
Just have that date on your calendar. Now we...
Yeah, I wanted the juicy details of this. Elder
was May, wasn't it May something?
Yeah.
May 10th awesome. Is the tentative. Yeah.
And
half a day all morning.
Mm-hmm. The description, again, I wasn't at the elder meeting. The description I saw, what we're going to do there, doesn't make it an elder's retreat. That's the wrong term.
Okay.
We're going to get together and do some studying in the morning. Mm-hmm. It seemed like just an extended meeting.
It's
not a retreat. It's sort of a Steve.
I need to get out of town and do something together.
May not come back.
Don't leave me alone.
Okay. All right. We're going to dismiss Jeff and Ross. You guys, we're going to talk about you.
I'll be listening downstairs. I'll get the children's work today.
Turn that video camera off, Jeff.
Hey, don't ask me. Talk to that guy right there who's watching everybody's last move. Nathan, you
coming
with us?
So, I'd like to hear this together.
Yeah, I talked to him last week. I said, hey, let's get together. I want to talk about some series. And then he talked to me a couple of days. Like, hey, I spent about an hour working on some of this. And then he sends it to me. I'm like,
He told me the other day, he says he gets up in the morning and writes sermons.
I know. He's just, again, his brain gifted. Keeps going. Mm-hmm. And he said that doing two sermons in a row was a little too much for him.
Good
and
to
I said,
realize.
I need to know that. I mean, but he really enjoyed it.
Okay.
But, yeah. And probably with the cancer thing is a burden for him, too.
But, I mean, goodness.
I know. It's like, my brain doesn't think the way he thinks. Yeah. My brain doesn't think much anymore. It never did, really.
10 to 12 weeks. Ridiculous. Let's
see. Okay, Brett was the one that wanted this on here. So, Brett, you're the one that wanted this on here.
Hey, while we're waiting on him, we mentioned it in January about selling the house. Have we talked any more about that?
Oh, you mean our property?
One of the properties.
I think Dave said that in terms of the house, it doesn't really, it pays for itself and then so.
Okay.
The admin, the elders at the finance committee meeting digested that and talked about it and thought it's a good store of value. And right now, because they're occupied cash flow wise, the carrot is, wow, we can just pay off our mortgage if we sell one of those.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the catalyst. And then in talking through it as admin elders, we decided, no, let's not make that part of this year's plan.
It sure doesn't look good. The fencing, I would suggest we fix the fences. It doesn't look good for the neighborhood. And I know a guy that can, Don and I could do it. It'd be a simple, I think, fix, just kind of going out and buying. That's just my suggestion.
That's good. Now, the problem is that when it rains, we might have trouble maintaining those fences. Because I said the water is really what caused it.
Yeah, I'd say fix it or take it down. And my vote was always just take it down. Because it's easier and it's cheaper.
The renter likes the fence, even the partial, wants it repaired, but isn't demanding about it. And when it's been a while, but when we looked, we couldn't match the wood, the cuts, you know, just so that you get the same. And so, and then it just kind of stalled. So,
I'm volunteering Don to help me. Can we look into some things and come back with a...
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we need to do something. Can we put a chain link fence there?
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
Okay. Yeah. I would just take it down.
Okay. But, the only reason I said that is because it's porous in terms of water.
Yeah, right. You know, it's pretty expensive with those.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
We'll look at the options.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it could be very... inexpensively done.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a lot of holes to dig.
I think the other thing we talked about was look at it like in maybe an 18-month time frame, and that over the next 18 months, it might be a good idea to set a date to say and let the renters know that, hey, by this date, 6 months from now, a year from now, we'd like to, you know, put this house on the market or whatever.
And, okay. And
just so that it's not a, you know, 3 months.
Yeah,
and get out.
When if we do put it on the market, you know, things like, again, if you want to sell it, you bring it up, like the decking and a lot of that kind of stuff. When I was over there, I was looking
at it. Well, we also talked about it's going to get to a point where it needs something major, and we decide it's not worth it, like an old car.
Right, yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah. At some point, it would be worth as much to tear down and rebuild on as to sell as a home.
You know, except for the flooding, it's a pretty good property.
Well, it's the due.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Okay.
So, do we want Nathan in here?
Come on. No. I've been gone for 6 months from here.
Well, really what we're going to talk about, Nathan, is really just an assessment of ourselves as to what we think about next steps for Jeff and Ross and stuff. So, probably... it would be probably best if we're going to exclude them, we ought to exclude them.
Nah, fine. I'll accept my fate. Figured I'd know them and love them, so.
As we do, too.
Yeah. Oh, yes, of course.
Anyway. Thanks you for being here. It's been a while.
Yeah. Appreciate, good report. Yeah.
Appreciate happy you. To.
Great work.
Yes. Happy to provide some insight to the ministry. And, again, thanks for the supporting my school. Yeah. That's going to be fun.
I know it was a tough call giving up basketball tonight, so thank you.
Yeah. It's okay. You know, I just finished basketball season, so I was like, you know what?
Your team probably lost. They're probably mad at us.
Yeah, right. No. Yeah. I've had a lot of basketball the last 4 months, and so I was like, I can
sacrifice. Yeah, y'all know he was a basketball coach for...
David Barwell. Spent a lot of time with David the last few months.
And he brought some friends.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Basketball guys.
And Nathan, if you could send me your hands out in the email, that would be great.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you want mine too, don't you?
I have already sent you an email.
I got your email too.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
All right. See you, Nathan.
Thank you. One more quick thing. My wife is really, as retired, going through purging everything. So she's making me go through files and stuff. I went through a file as we were looking for a youth minister, and I was reading some of them. It was really interesting from the search committee. A couple of things they said about the weaknesses of Nathan's are now his strengths.
Wow.
Is this really, he's really done well at teaching.
Yeah, that's something I'm trying to keep in mind when we're looking for a lead minister, in that Nathan was my second pick. And, you know, I was happy to be wrong with that, you know. And so it's just very difficult in this, you know.
It is.
So,
that's why we just have to rely.
Yeah.
I'll make it clear.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. All yours, Brett.
Jeff and Ross have been sitting in for over a year. And, you know, I think, Dave, you sat in longer than that. There's no problem. But I think we need to be intentional. You know, are we mentoring them? Are they moving along? But also Ross talked with me a week ago, and we've been talking on and off. And he said, "Yeah, I think, you know, I'm ready to pursue the eldership." And, you know, he said, "I understand that it's a little awkward right now with my uncle, and so it doesn't have to be immediately, mm-hmm. but this is something I think that I feel called to." And so he just expressed that, and so I just wanted to say, hey, guys, you know, here's what he's talking about. And so for both of these guys, you know, we've been they've been watching us for a year. We've been hopefully watching them for a year. And what are our thoughts on these two? So Ross said, "Hey, I'm ready to throw my chips on the table, push them all in." You know, what are our thoughts on that? And then with Jeff, you know, he's not ready yet, but you know, what do we see?
Is he said he's not ready yet?
No, he just hasn't volunteered anything. Is it indefinite? Is, you know, does he just keep sitting in? Because the other is they are de facto elders, right? So, you know, if they're going to all the meetings and they're voting on all the stuff and they're privy to everything, it's
are they voting on all the stuff?
Well, so far, like with all the ministers and everything, I put a we're all green checks, they're yellow checks, but you know, they're sitting in here, and mm-hmm. and is it fair to the congregation? Is it fair to them? You know, just to keep dragging this on, or you know, what do we want to do? So anyway, for Ross, you know, I think we're at a decision point. You know, he's ready, and it doesn't have to be again right away because of his uncle. You know, fine if it goes out a couple months, but I guess it's on us now. What are our thoughts on Ross? And so maybe we can just start there, and then before we talk about Jeff.
I get the impression that, I mean, Jeff's ready. I think he's kind of waiting for us to say, I don't know what everybody else thinks, but I don't think he's hesitant at all.
Well, I think we had a conversation earlier similar to your conversation, and I thought Jeff said while he was working that he...
Oh, yeah, it might have to extend until we have...
Right, and so I thought we were...
I would even suggest once we get our children's minister and lead minister, then we move forward with both of them.
I think we need to think of them separately. And so I think we just... We may do that, but mm-hmm. what are we saying now for Ross? And then I think we just need to talk about Ross first, and then we can talk about Jeff next.
So you're saying we should decide whether we feel like they're elder material and should be elders? Or
for Ross, yes. For Jeff, okay, what is next steps with Jeff? Well, I think we need to have some kind of a plan. But for Ross, I think we need to make that decision. You know, what are our thoughts on that?
I've been thinking about this. So I think Ross is scheduled to teach coming up really soon. And I'm not sure how often he had opportunity to teach, you know, in front of the congregation. And so that may not be a bad thing for him to get in front of the congregation for a little while to do some teaching before we move into him to the eldership.
Like a summer class.
I think he's got a class coming. I think he's on schedule sometime soon to teach a series.
I think he told
that's
me
a
that.
Good thing.
Yeah.
That's good. I didn't realize that. But that sounds really appropriate.
Yeah. I think both of them are shepherding.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm always amazed that McGlon, he knows so much about every family.
He does.
Yeah.
He does. And Ross does too. Right. He's pretty. He does. I think something happens back there in the mm-hmm. in the computer with PowerPoint, and then something happens back there. They find out about a lot of things. I don't know, but they're very engaged.
Yeah, definitely tuned into family with the church. Yes, they are.
No question.
Yes, they are. And Beata is like a man. She's a worker bee, and she's involved and volunteering for everything.
Yeah,
you know. So
and some things that Ross and Alicia have done, as far as bringing up their children, has been very impressive.
Yeah, it is.
Their third son, he's a handful, mm-hmm. but I don't think that affects mm-hmm. the way he parents them or not.
So what are you thinking, Steve? How do you summarize that?
I think they're both ready. I know you want just one, right. So I'll say I think he's ready. But I think we waiting until after we get through this next transition especially if it ends up being John, I think it would be good to wait. I don't see us having to hurry with anything. And I think just let's just get through these the staff transitions.
I think if Ross is, you know, feels the calling, he's certainly aware and tuned in, and he contributes a lot. And so I've been impressed by that, and you know, and so all of that I don't have any reservations about. I thought he would say, you know, maybe somewhere down the road, just because of the age of his children, and Amy and I were really hypersensitive to that, but. They do a lot, and he's I like the way he contributes, and if he feels like he's called to this, then I'm supportive of that. And then the timing of things, I think I kind of like your idea where, okay, let's get some staffing stuff in place, and then that, and probably both at the same time, because I will say Jeff has been even more impressive. I didn't know him terribly well before this past year. And boy, has he stepped up in multiple ways.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure what we were going to get with him, with, you know, his opinionated and things, but he contributes wonderfully, and I like his perspective, and he knows what he's getting into.
Yeah.
And so if he feels that as well, I'm supportive of that. Yeah. So both of them. And I do think waiting until after he's not employed, but that's not a deal breaker. No. It just kind of makes sense. Let's let that play out.
Yeah.
And then he can redirect his efforts and that, so.
Yeah. Brad?
I think Jeff McGlone, you could drop him in as an elder now, and I, you know, would fully support that. With Ross, I feel, you know, when somebody says, oh, I think it's time for me to be an elder, it, you know, to me, I'd like to know, you know, I've never heard him teach or preach, you know, so that concerns me. I just don't know that he seems to be, I think, somewhat inexperienced in certain matters that, you know, I think he'll make a good elder eventually, but I think right now I would not push him into that position. I think he needs some time to mature and, you know, deal with some other things in life, perhaps, to, you know, it, to me, it is definitely a calling, and if you don't hear the calling, then, you know, you're not an elder.
Right.
You
know?
And,
agreed.
And so, him saying it's time goes back with, you know, talking about one has to desire it.
Right.
And we've already asked them to consider.
Yep.
So I don't see that as being an obstacle. I think it's a natural process for him with just that point that you made.
Yeah. You know, I would continue to encourage him to continue to teach and do things, but I personally would not bring him on right now. That's just, you know, my opinion. It's probably not worth much, but
that's good. Don, I don't think we ever heard you.
No, I feel like, you know, I like what I see. You know, he's a very sincere, very genuine. He, you know, he's a good father, good family example. I have not heard him teach or not, so I think that is a good thing that he is going to be doing that. I kind of like Steve, I don't feel like we have to be in a hurry, you know, at all. And I think letting him sort of season out till we do get these other positions filled and intentionally getting him, you know, the opportunities to teach. I had breakfast with him a couple of weeks ago, and he sought that out. I mean, he says, you know, I'm trying to, you know, get as much information as I can from all you guys that had been doing this for a while, and he asked very good questions. His heart's in the right place. I think it is a calling for him. I think he's, you know, he feels like that's, you know, in his wheelhouse, and so I really appreciate the way he's gone about it. I mean, you know, I, and
So, yeah, I'm very much in favor of him being considered as an elder. I would think timing-wise, probably later this year, even towards the end of the year, you know, depending on how these things fall out that we're trying to get accomplished now. But definitely very supportive of him. Okay. And Jeff as well.
Yeah. So my thoughts are, you know, I think both these guys are, you know, good godly men. And for Ross, you know, I think he's got great qualities. My worry, and I asked him to talk to you, is he's got a young Willow. You know, it's like, you know, is this, I think it would be good for the church to have him, but is it good for him and mm-hmm. his family with where they are in life? Is it fair for him at this point? And you know, I said, you know, Don, you had young kids when you first started out, and you know, you would know more than I.
And he asked me specifically about that.
Right. And so that's my worry is this fair to Ross and you know, his family? And so I don't know, you know, again, I don't know that there's any rush for it to be now. Okay, my thought is like, Ross, you know, I don't know where you're at. If you want to do this, fine. But if you got any reservations, you know, 2 years from now would be great. And, you know, the other is I think we need to think through this because, you know, people have said, you know, it'd be great to hear him preach or teach. But we need to think of this when we invite people to this table. You know, it's like when we're looking for elders, right? You know, who are the people that were ready? And it's not like a year after they're sitting on this table, it's like, well, you haven't taught anything or preached anywhere. It's like, well, that's our fault. You know, yep. We're not getting them ready. So either they shouldn't have been here, or when they get here, we need to make sure that when this time comes, that they can check those boxes if those are questions that we have. Yep. And so, you know, we need to think about that. So, you know, my thought with Ross is, you know, I just really appreciate him as a brother. And my just concern is, you know, is this fair to him and his family with young kids?
I think you're right about having a plan laid out. And sometimes, and you know, when you're thinking about things like this, you don't maybe think through it as well as you should. And I just been thinking more about the two candidates. And with Ross, in the beginning, I was thinking, okay, Jeff is further along than Ross in some ways, you know. And there's some things about both that I think make me want to say maybe it's not the time, right? But with Ross, I've gotten to know him a little bit better. And there's some things, some conversations we've had about some very I think some delicate subject matters, and he's handled that really well, which I appreciate. But that is one of my concerns with Jeff. I'm not sure how well he handled delicate subject matters. So that made me feel better about Ross having those conversations. But I think in my mind, as I started thinking more seriously about him as an elder, the teaching part is where, you know, there's a little bit of a disconnect for me. And to your point, we probably had that all laid out in the beginning. Say, here's what we think, something we need to be working toward. You know, we see this as a way you should work toward it. And that means that we need to be more thoughtful, like you said, about when we bring man in here, what path forward do we need for that particular person? It's going to be different for different men. So we need to be thinking more specifically about that person, what we need for him to do, rather than just sitting here with meetings with us. This is an important part of it, but what other things that person needs to do in terms of him to maybe begin to think more seriously about becoming an elder? So, but anyway, those are just...
No, so I guess what I'm hearing is one thing is they're both good men, but not now. And I think it's good for them to hear this, to say, hey, we're praying for you, but, you know, for different reasons, you know, we want you to stay in here, but, you know, Ross, we want you to have an opportunity to teach a class and really see, you know, how that you can, you know, do this in front of the congregation. But also we want to wait and let things blow over with the senior minister, you know, especially given your involvement.
I think the not now isn't them. It's where we're at with the different things we have going on.
Exactly. But I think we just need to be able to explain that to them. It's like, you know, and let them know we're praying for them and that we've got a vision for them. It's like, we are really excited about what we see in you guys and what we see God doing in you. And, you know, we're hoping by the end of the year we can revisit this conversation. But I think we just need to give them some kind of a guideline. But also, if we're thinking we've seen them like with Ross and say, you know, maybe it's going to be 2 years till your daughter gets older. Okay, we need to talk about that now.
Doesn't that need to be their decision and not ours?
I think it needs to be both. I would say Don would know more of what that's going to do to a family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he doesn't know what it's going to be.
Well, that's true, but I think what Steve's saying is right. I think for Debbie and I, it was, you know, when faced with that decision, we just said we're going to intentionally make the decision that we're not going to let it affect our family. Right. And she was my gatekeeper there. If I didn't quite get the message, she would make sure I'd get the message that, okay, you know, it's time to pay a little more attention, you know, or whatever. Yeah. So I think that's a decision he and his family would need to make. And I think they're both wide-eyed and would know what they're considering and make a good decision there. But I think it's really more their decision. I mean, we can certainly bring it up as a, you know, want you to be sure that you're not concerned about that. And that you feel comfortable with that. But, I think just the point is not to make that it's not anything we have to rush into.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how they feel about their capacity now, you know, but I feel very good about their capacity just being here. And if it's another 6 months, another year, or whatever, I think that's
it. And I'm fine with that. It's you know, I did this 2 years ago, and I kind of understood the process, but you're kind of sitting here waiting, you know, am I supposed to say something? Are they supposed to say something? You know, is there like in 6 months they're going to say, okay, are you ready? And so there's some ambiguity. And so I don't know if I would guess they're feeling the same. And, you know, if we can just say, hey, you guys, you know, we're praying for you and you're on track, but just, you know, we're looking more towards the end of the year and just because of everything going on right now.
Yeah, I like that. Just in emphasizing, and to me, this is the whole issue is we got a lot of changes going on in the system now. Let's get things settled. Then we'll revisit that. And if they're ready for that, then.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead, Dave.
1 Timothy chapter 3 is worth reading here. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer, then, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. That helps me.
Great reminder.
And with Jeff, I've seen him grow in the last 2 years. He used to be just kind of cranky and critical. You know, and I have not seen that in a couple of years with him. He's very, quite frankly, the opposite.
Insightful.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to reiterate that I still intend to step down this year, just because I really feel like that's what I need to do. And so I want to do that at the appropriate time, which may be before we install them or move them into the elders, or it may be
December 31st. That's what I would vote for.
You don't get a vote.
We just don't want to hire a new guy, and the next week we announce.
Well, that's just it. I don't want the timing to be a problem. If the timing were now, that'd be fine. If the timing's whatever, but I don't want to lose sight of that, because I really do feel like I need to. And I think I've shared with you guys, I just don't want to be the guy that hangs on too long. And you know, I can tell that, you know, I'm just not as apt for it, you know, as I used to be. And I think it's be better to do it now than later. And that doesn't mean I'm abandoning anything. I certainly would do whatever you guys would ask of me or whatever, but I just don't want to lose sight of that, and I don't want the timing of that to be a problem with all these other things. So I'm open to whatever, but I feel strongly that it's time for. And Debbie and I have talked about it, and so we're both.
Well, I guess after 40 years of doing it, you've paid your dues.
Not quite 40. Not quite 40.
So, guys, I guess, you know, with Jeff and Ross, you know, no rush, and it seems like we've got a path forward. So, but for Ross, would it be best if I, since, you know, he talked to me before, if I just talk with him and kind of share with him what we're talking about? And
I think so.
And I also think I like the idea of both of them at the same time. I think they're both ready, and it would just seem like a good thing to do, because if you one and not the other, people are thinking, well, what's wrong with him?
Right.
And so I think both of them at the same time would be good.
Okay.
I think it would be helpful, too, to have some kind of communication to the congregation. I don't know what that is, but just kind of letting them know kind of where things are. And
Generally, when people, the congregation has an ability to weigh in on this decision, you know, put people up.
Very
before
important.
The church and
put them forth.
So we did with these guys.
I just think I don't know how well we have communicated to the congregation that they. I know we've said it a couple of times, but maybe that's sufficient. But it just seems like
it will never be sufficient.
Yeah,
maybe like, not. Maybe like Eric said. Point,
Eric said we never talked about it.
He said we're keeping it a secret. I'm like,
yeah,
I know. I talked to them about that.
Yeah, right. And sure, we maybe should mention it more than we do, but it's just not something you just think about, you know?
Well, with the transition, I think it'd be good to have a congregational meeting sometime. Once we decide on who we're getting, it could be in 2 weeks, it could be in 3 weeks, and just bring up the whole church
next year,
system. Yeah. Pardon me?
It could be next year.
Yeah, it could be.
Trust in God.
I think
I looked at something today. Oh, I looked, last time I did... I had meeting minutes for April 4th last year.
Yeah.
Mm. And we were talking about Ethan Laster.
Yeah.
Well, I still think you're, you know, 3 years older, three years younger than I am, right? 2 years.
I'm at least a couple years, I guess.
Yeah. So you can't retire yet.
Well, and while we're talking, I would love to see us sometime, not right now, maybe next year, looking at our whole eldering system and relook at it. And I know back in 2013 we had a system we had put together that doesn't even look like any of that now. I know things change. We're trying to be a little more fluid with our elder group, and maybe if John comes in, I'm sure he has some experience he could give us. And the Christian Church and the Church of Christ, one thing that's I've seen, that their system, their model is a little different. Not much, but it's more staff-led with some of the churches that I've seen that have been growing versus elder-led. And I don't think that's unbiblical. We can talk about some other time. But if we get John, he can have some input from some experience he's had with all of that.
Yeah, agree.
Okay, anything else we need to talk about that? You've got marching orders.
So you're going to talk to Ross.
Yep.
Who's going to talk to Jeff?
I can talk to Jeff, but I'll do it separate.
Okay. Okay.
Good. Thanks, Brett.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. 9 o'clock, guys. Sorry.
We missed an hour of Trump. Talking to Congress.
Oh, yeah.
That should be interesting.
Brett, will you close us with a prayer?
Yeah. Fathers, we opened, we just don't want to be fearful. And Father, we just want to trust in you. And we are your children. This is your world and it's your will. And Father, sometimes we just want to understand what you're doing. And help us to be patient and trust in you. And Father, help us not to be caught up in the process or all the job descriptions or all the interviews. But Father, help us to really understand the gospel and the need that people have to know you. Help us to always understand grace and love and forgiveness, and that, Father, that's what this world needs. And Father, I pray that when we look at the people we work with and in our neighborhoods and even with our families, Father, that we really see what you see in those people, that you see them as your children, but most of them are probably just mired in sin and pain and in unfulfilled lives. And Father, I just pray that we can give them hope and a purpose and point them to you. Mm-hmm. Father, I pray again that we try not to find the easy way with a minister or with our path forward, but we're willing to do what you call us to do. I just thank you for the men at this table, and I just pray that you continue to give them patience and peace and build us all up. Amen.
Amen.
So, Brad, how's it going? Did your new, your old paralegal come back?
The old one came back, and the other one gave notice today.
She wasn't a happy camper, I guess, huh?
They were the band. The band.